afternoon. Coming up next is the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Baby got a crush on you. Well, it's just my luck, and I'm down again, 'cause my own best friend said don't come knocking.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. At the Senate Appropriations Committee today,
I urge the Congress to approve the complete global war on terror request as quickly as possible and without excessive and counterproductive restrictions.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates saying the Pentagon needs $190 billion to pay for operations in Iraq and Afghanistan next year. Committee Chairman Robert Byrd.
This committee will not, in OT, not rubber stamp every request that is submitted by the President. If the...
There were demonstrators.
Clear the room.
They interrupted things several times. Until finally Senator Byrd had enough of it, said so, and ordered all the protesters out.
The hearing is suspended.
Some progress, but it's pretty tough to see at Veterans Administration facilities months after promises to improve health treatment for veterans. The Government Accountability Office's Director of Disability Resources, Daniel Bertoni.
In the short term, the Army is doing some what I would call more operational tactical approaches, almost Band-Aids.
The GAO report says it's time to get cracking. As troop levels in Iraq wind down, millions of American veterans may need help, physical and psychological, and they don't need to wait 6 months to get it. Idaho Senator Larry Craig waits till next week to learn whether he'll be allowed to take back his guilty plea deal that grew out of the Minneapolis gay sexting. CBS's Bob Fuss.
In a three-sentence written statement, Senator Craig says that for now he intends to stay in the Senate and await a ruling from the Minnesota judge on his effort to withdraw his guilty plea. He earlier said if his name couldn't be cleared by the end of the month, which is 4 days away, he would resign, which is what Republican leaders here have made abundantly clear they want him to do.
The jury in the murder case against record producer Phil Spector couldn't make up its mind.
Juror number one, do you think there's anything more?
Judge Larry Fidler in Los Angeles declared it a hung jury at 10-2 and sent the jurors home. Spector was accused of killing actress Lana Clarkson. Prosecutors haven't said whether they will try again. Hearings on air travel delays gave members of Congress a chance to vent.
Quit fiddling while America sits, please.
Massachusetts Democrat Mike Capuano said he's accosted by his constituents when he flies.
You're embarrassing all of us here.
And Republican Howard Kobel of North Carolina says he is too. One man told him it's worse than pulling teeth.
He said, I would rather go to my dentist than go to an airport.
Acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill couldn't promise much.
The system is busy, and regrettably the bad news here is that delays will likely only get worse.
He said new technology may help, but real improvement may take years. Howard Ehrenstein, CBS News, Washington.
In Green Bay, Wisconsin, people are complaining about acorns. Too many, they say, falling from trees the city planted. And the squirrels dig holes in their yards. You could slip on acorns like marbles. Just awful. On Wall Street, the Dow up about 99 points. The NASDAQ has gained 15 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there. Arrive.
And now for the bonus round. Friday multiplied by Saturday equals...
Tuesday at 2:30.
Correct. Sean's hair is 4.5 inches longer than Chad's. How tall is Chad?
5'8".
Correct. What's the new way to get movies from Netflix?
Come on, instantly on your PC.
Correct! Netflix. Now there's two ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail, fast, and instantly on your PC. In as little as 30 seconds. Netflix, it's that easy. Five movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for start time and 5 for 5 details.
Florida's biggest power company has announced a new, very green, very sunny initiative.
Florida Power and Light says it'll build a solar energy plant that'll produce about 500 megawatts or enough juice for about 170,000 customers. The plant's expected to help reduce carbon dioxide emissions by about 2 million tons over its first 5 years. FPL says it's part of a $2.4 billion clean energy program.
CBS's Peter King is in Orlando. General Motors workers went back to work today like those in Delaware.
Workers at the plant in Wilmington are mostly just excited to be going back to work. They started arriving for the first shift back early this afternoon, and they say they're relieved.
That's CBS's Seth Doan. The auto workers' strike lasted for 2 days. A ratification vote is expected to begin by the weekend. The UAW is now expected to use that agreement as a blueprint for new deals with Ford and Chrysler. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Where's my tricycle?
Let's get your helmet on first, big guy.
Aw, Dad, come on.
I'm taking my bike over to Ryan's.
Hey, where's your helmet?
Dad.
What they hear is you telling them to wear a helmet. What you're really saying is, I love you. Introducing the car inspired by that love. The all-new 2008 Ford Taurus, rated the safest full-size car in America.
Hey, hey, and no helmet, no video game.
Dad!
Taurus comes with 6 airbags, standard, and with optional electronic stability control. Taurus is an IIHS top safety pick and has received NHTSA's 5-star crash test safety rating for front and side impacts.
I'm going to Amy's.
Aren't you forgetting?
Dad, what's this?
Keys to the Taurus.
Really?
Thought you might want to borrow it.
Dad!
The all-new 2008 Ford Taurus, rated the safest full-size car in America. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on both NHTSA 5-star crash test ratings and with optional ESC, IIHS top safety pick. Star ratings are part of the U.S. Department of Transportation SaferCar.gov program. www.safercar.gov.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Much better, thank you. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. We're live in Sacramento today, once again, covering for Christine Kraft, who's on vacation at 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And I want to thank Larry Bensky, the dean of Left Coast Radio, who sat in for me yesterday. I was here, but my voice was impaired, and I was just delighted to observe him in action. And I thank you for the warm reception you gave him. We've got a lot to talk about today. And two important officials from Sacramento will be joining us in just a moment, Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. And next hour, Mary Nichols, who is on the front line of Governor Schwarzenegger's efforts to rein in our emissions and respond to global warming. She is the chair of the California Air Resources Board, and there's a lot to talk about in regard to that initiative. The governor gave a speech at the United Nations, and I'm not free with my praise for a Republican governor like Schwarzenegger, but he is showing much greater leadership and wisdom than a guy named George W. Bush, who could barely bring himself to attend a dinner about global warming issues, and that's the central theme of the UN General Assembly session this fall. So we'll talk with her about that coming up in an hour. In the meantime, about a half hour away, we're going to get the lowdown on the surprising news from Detroit, a 3 a.m. settlement in the strike that only lasted about 2 days between the United Auto Workers and General Motors. It is a compromise, and it remains to be seen how the health and retirement benefits will fare for retirees in a new trust fund arrangement that the union agreed to. There are also some job security guarantees from General Motors. And the most satisfying part for me is that Jim Cramer is exposed as just full of it. Also on today's program, Larissa Alexandrovna, who is the managing editor for investigative reporting at rawstory.com, has come up with another biggie. She's got explanations about that attack, the alleged attack by Israel on a Syrian installation that some have speculated was a nuclear facility. And she'll break that news for us coming up a little bit later today. And as we kick off the Free Speech Zone, Richard Stockton and Johnny Steele, two great comics, are going to join us. They do political commentary and humor, and they want to invite you to a new monthly event in Santa Cruz. We'll give you the details. That's coming up in our third hour today. You can call the program whenever the urge strikes you. We pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And my email is open and available 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Or if you're a Jim Cramer fan, you can use fullofit@peterbcollins.com. I'll receive it. I guarantee it. John Garamendi is the Lieutenant Governor of the state of California. He served two disconnected terms as a state insurance commissioner, the first elected state insurance commissioner. And he also served many years in the Assembly and the State Senate. John, welcome to our program today.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Peter B.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, sir. And you gave a speech noontime today at the Press Club in Sacramento related to higher education in California. And I really think we're at a critical stage where the fees continue to escalate so that state and UC campuses cost as much as the Ivy League, if not more. We see inept management of these institutions, as reported by their own regents and other officials, and the long-term impact to the state of California and our workforce is very critical. What did you say in your speech today?
Well, you just about gave my speech. Very, very close to it.
Well, thanks for joining us today. We're going to move on because we haven't covered the O.J. trial or the Phil Spector hung jury.
No, we can go back to Mary Nichols, and we can talk about climate change, too. Actually, what I did talk about was pretty much what you just said, is that the state university system and the UC system, University of California system, are absolutely crucial and critical to California's present, past, and future. We really were able to build this great economy, this enormous society, this incredible engine of economic growth here, largely based on a very well-educated workforce and a free public higher education system. We're not there now. Our workforce is not the best educated in the United States. We're 12th among all of the states in the number of graduates of four-year institutions. That's not good. That means we're falling off the power curve. We're also terribly short of key people that we need, engineers, scientists, teachers, nurses, technicians, others who really are essential for a high-wealth, high-growth economy. And at the same time we're seeing all those troubles, the door is being slammed shut on low-income and moderate-income students with these incredible fee increases that go on and on and on. Some we've doubled the fees at these two institutions in the last 4 years. It's gotten to the point where the University of California is $22,000-$23,000 a year per student to get there. Students coming out of these schools, if they're fortunate enough to be able to get a loan, find the next 4 or 5, maybe 10 years of their lives, they're paying off that loan. They're not able to get their family together, buy a house, and so forth.
Some of the key grad schools at Berkeley now are going to be $40,000 a year for a state resident.
This is absolute insanity in my mind. And at the Regents meeting last week, I was raising hell about this. It is just a wrong-headed policy to go out and to literally slam the door shut. $40,000 a year, it is. You're looking at a student 3 years at Bolt or at one of the graduate business schools coming out with $50,000 to $100,000, maybe $120,000 of debt. It is getting to be impossible. The notion that of a free public higher education that really was the key for California's growth in the post-war era up through, say, 50 to 1990 has disappeared. It's gone. And we're just have got to change it. The thing that really bothers me about this is that the funding for the University of California system has declined precipitously. In 1990, the state spent $15,000 per student at the UC system. In 2004 and 5, it spent just under $10,000 per student.
John, can you speak up a little bit? I got a weak connection here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that the amount of support that the state is giving to these higher education systems has just collapsed. $15,000 per student in 1990, $10,000 per student in 2004 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Not even attempting to keep pace with inflation. The result is that we've seen these student fees rise. It's a tax on students. It's a tax that's levied by the regents and the board of trustees, not by elected officials.
Right.
So I'm telling him, let the legislature impose that student tax. See how they feel about it. Right now, the legislature gets a free ride.
Well, and John Garamendi, is this not, at least in part, a result of Governor Schwarzenegger's no new taxes pledge? There are no new taxes overtly, but as you just pointed out, this is a huge tax on the students and on working families who want to, treat their children to a brighter next generation.
Well, it's a tax on anybody that wants to climb the economic ladder through education. Now, that is a real stupid tax. Those are the people you want to give every break to, let them climb that economic ladder, let them become very high-paying taxpayers with mm-hmm. a high income. That's mm-hmm. great for everybody.
Yeah. Now, one of the rationales that I've heard over the years as fees and other expenses related to our state higher education institutions have risen is that there is a kind of built-in pad that those who are able to pay more, and that at least a third of the revenue generated is diverted into student aid for those who can less afford it. Are we still maintaining that level of student aid?
That is the formula, and it does, in fact, happen. And if that's not a tax, I don't know what it is. You take from those who have and give to those who don't. Sounds like something they may have come up with. Who was that fellow? Karl Marx? but that's what it is. And unfortunately, that has not been able to keep pace with the cost of education.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though a third, and in the case of some of these graduate schools, it'll be 50% of the money goes back into student fees, it does not keep up with the cost of education. And the federal government, even with the effort made by the Democrats in Congress, has been unable to keep their Pell grants and other student loans up to the rate of inflation. The cost of inflation in higher education has been several times higher than the general inflation rate. So, yes, that money does go from those who have to those who don't, but not uniformly, mm-hmm. and certainly not enough to keep up with the total cost of education.
And, Lieutenant Governor, as a regent, what is your reaction to these corporate deals that have fallen into place in the last year or so? British Petroleum funding research at UC Berkeley. Philip Morris, in a controversial move, has pledged about $6 million at UCLA, and they won't even tell us what the research is about. This is frightening to me, and while the dollars may be insignificant, I mean, when you consider the overall budgets, they're not big bucks, but they could compromise the integrity of these universities in a significant way.
Well, certainly the BP is a very significant amount. It's about $500 million over a period.
You're right. Yeah, I take that back. But the Philip Morris is $6 million?
Well, it is that level. They're really quite different. In the case of the tobacco industry, it's very clear that the tobacco industry uses university research to mislead the effects of tobacco smoking, the harmful effects. And my view is we simply should have, as regents, prohibited the tobacco money in the research. Now, BP is a different matter. They're dealing with bioenergy issues. I think that research is incredibly important. The question there is, what is the public's access to the information, the knowledge that comes from that research? How much of it's going to be proprietary? Will it be open? The final contract has not been written, but it was very, very heavily vetted. That is, the earlier versions were heavily vetted by the Faculty Senate at Berkeley for the purposes of making sure that it is an open process, that there are no hidden deals and the like. Whether that is actually going to be the case or not, we don't know because we haven't seen the final.
Right.
But that research is terribly important because we simply have to move away from carbon-based fuels to renewables, and I know you're going to talk to Mary in a few minutes, and earlier today Mary Nichols and I were at a conference in Silicon Valley on clean and green.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a break and return, talk more about California's higher education system and the challenges it's facing. Our guest is Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. If you have a question or a comment, bring it on now. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's 19 after the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. 24 minutes after the hour, we're talking with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. Gave a speech today about the crisis facing our higher education institutions. That's the California State University system and the University of California system. And what about the community colleges, John? What's the situation there? I really don't have an update on that, so I thought I'd ask you.
Well, there's great variation in the community colleges across the state. Some are very deeply involved in what we call workforce preparation or workforce training, and do a great job on that, preparing nurses and skilled technicians of all kinds. In fact, tomorrow here in Sacramento, I'm going to be touring American River College. They've got a green tech program going there, or a green collar work career technical program going, and a culinary program. And then later I'll be at Sac State on my eighth listening tour of the one or another of the California State University campuses. I've gone to eight of them, bringing together labor and business and the faculty, students, and others to talk about how those that particular university is engaged in preparing the workforce in the communities that that they are located in.
And John, are you familiar with the Apollo Alliance?
Yes.
They're doing a lot of great work, and it is a collaboration of industry and labor with a whole idea of producing this next generation of green-collar workers. And when you tie that together with the efforts to combat global warming, there's some tremendous opportunities there.
Well, this is where California has an enormous advantage, and this is why the universities are so terribly important. The Public Policy Institute issued a report that unless we really ramp up the role of both of these university systems, we will not have the engineers, scientists, teachers, nurses, other highly skilled people that we need to keep the economy going. And now as we appropriately and correctly deal with this climate change, we have to change our energy sources, which means we must move to renewables, to biofuels, solar, wind, all of these alternative systems. That requires a new workforce that we don't have yet, so we've got to train those people. The Apollo Alliance is excellent. The green-collar jobs that are being produced here in Sacramento at the Dos Rios Community College system, three different campuses, other campuses, we have to do that. And if we do it, these jobs are not going to get exported.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it solar system, you're going to do it in California, not in China.
I've got a couple of callers for the Lieutenant Governor. First up, Susan in Soquel. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, hi, Peter, and hi, Lieutenant Governor. I would like to know, it's just a question for you and for me, for my understanding, just what you are as a Lieutenant Governor, what does that mean? What position, you know, what influence do you hold?
Excellent question. First of all, you have whatever influence you want. You got a terrific bully pulpit like the Peter B. Collins Show, and others, so you can push issues, and I've been doing that today. This is my second radio show, I don't know, and speeches up and down on climate change and on the education system today. So you've got that bully pulpit. But I am a regent of the University of California. I've attended all of their meetings. I'm a trustee of the state university system. I attend those meetings. And so as a regent or a trustee, I have the ability to influence those organizations and then come back to Sacramento working with legislators to put in place the appropriate policies. And you probably heard the discussion on student fees and the like. I'm also the chairperson of the State Lands Commission. And so liquefied natural gas facilities, LNG facilities off the coast, led the effort to stop the program, the LNG facility off the Malibu coast. Dealing with the coastline as a member of the Ocean Protection Council, issues of Tahoe with the State Lands Commission. So climate change, water, environmental issues, education, and because of 30 years of working on health care, working very closely with the governor and the legislator on the health care system. And I'm also chairman of the Commission on Economic Development.
Oh.
Governor Schwarzenegger and I put this thing together. And it is the only legislative organization that is specifically purposed to figure out how to keep the California economy going.
And Susan, he's no Cruz Bustamante. We'll just leave it at that. Dave in Eureka, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, so many elected officials today, Lieutenant Governor, are so much owned by big corporate special interests. And I've understood you are not, that you have kept your hands in your own pocket and didn't take any payoffs. Is that still the case?
Well, it's certainly the case. As insurance commissioner, I simply refused to take money from the insurance industry and did that for all of the years that I was as insurance commissioner. I'll tell you what we really need to do, and that is we need to have clean money. We need to have the clean money program that exists in Arizona. We have to have that in California.
Got to stop for a break here. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Kyocera, people-friendly printers and copiers only from Kyocera. I'm Charles Osgood. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights spells out what the United Nations is supposed to stand for, as President Bush reminded the General Assembly yesterday.
The first article of the Universal Declaration begins, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights." The truth is denied by terrorists and extremists who kill the innocent with the aim of imposing their hateful vision on humanity.
A short world tour after this.
Have you heard the news about Kyocera?
In business news, Kyocera begins an ambitious extended-term reliability test on their high-speed, 80-page-per-minute KM8030 MFP.
Independent testing firm of Byers Lab pushed the start button on the Kyocera KM8030.
They've been testing the MFP in what they're calling real-world conditions, but what this reporter calls astounding.
The Kyocera KM8030 ran 80 pages per minute, 20,000 prints per day, through all kinds of job settings and paper sizes, running 1 million.
Well, folks, it's day 50 for Kyocera and no breakdowns yet.
Then 2 million.
100 days and only routine maintenance.
Past 2.5 million pages without a single breakdown.
Byers Lab says they've never seen anything like it.
The KM8030. We don't just claim reliability, we prove it. Go to KyoceraMita.com to learn the full story. Then make your move.
The whole world smiles with you.
People-friendly copiers and printers. Only from Kyocera.
The genocide in Darfur continues, promises notwithstanding.
The United Nations must answer this challenge to conscience and live up to its promise to promptly deploy peacekeeping forces to Darfur.
And elsewhere in Africa.
The United Nations must insist on change in Harare and must insist for the freedom of the people of Zimbabwe.
There are human rights abuses you know the UN isn't about to do anything about.
In Belarus, North Korea, Syria, and Iran, brutal regimes deny their people the fundamental rights enshrined in the Universal Declaration.
Dissident protest is spreading against the repressive regime in Myanmar, better known to us as Burma.
Americans are outraged by the situation in Burma, where a military junta has imposed a 19-year reign of fear. Basic freedoms of speech, assembly, and worship are severely restricted.
Mr. Bush announced the tightening of U.S. sanctions against that regime. And then there are Iraq, Afghanistan, and Lebanon.
Extremists are doing everything in their power to bring down these young democracies. The people of Lebanon and Afghanistan and Iraq have asked for our help, and every civilized nation has a responsibility to stand with them.
And what is the UN doing? What can it do, as it's now set up?
The goals I've outlined today cannot be achieved overnight, and they cannot be achieved without reform in this vital institution.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Thank you. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
General Motors and the United Auto Workers reached a settlement. Pink Cadillacs are rolling off the assembly line again. Just the other day, I came out of my yoga class and almost got run over by a pink Cadillac with the Mary Kay logo on the side there. And I'm sure Mary Kay and a lot of other people are happy, including 73,000 UAW workers who walked off the job at GM, expecting perhaps a very long strike. And surprisingly, it was settled in the middle of the night, overnight, too late to make the morning papers, but certainly production has resumed, we understand, today. And with just a brief interruption there, I guess some 25,000 vehicles could have been made during that time. And so it's a minor loss to General Motors. We turn to get some analysis of the deal and what it means to Chris Katulik. He is the editor of Labor Notes. He's based in Detroit. And, Chris, I understand you were awakened at 4 a.m. today with the news.
That's right. It's been a long day here in Detroit. They reached a settlement at about 3:05, the union and General Motors, and summoned us all at 4 in the morning for a press conference announcing the settlement of the strike.
Mm-hmm. And what is the package look like? From what I understand, GM is going to be permitted to move retiree health care costs into an independent trust administered by the union. And there's some wage concessions. And also on the company side, they have agreed to provide some sorts of job protection for the remaining workforce. It's important to note, it's a sad note, that 30 years ago there were 400,000 UAW members working at GM, and now it's down to 73,000.
No, that's right. Exact details are not known as yet. They'll be announcing the details when the members begin voting on it, which will most likely be next week. But as you said, there are already a number of key points that have come out. The main point being, the main battleground being over healthcare issues, retiree healthcare issues, and the creation of a VEBA, or a Voluntary Employment Beneficiary Association Fund, which is really simply a big trust that's going to be managed by, or could be managed by, the union. We actually don't know the exact details of that. And one of the key features of this is that, and this is being used more and more, you're seeing this more and more in collective bargaining situations as employers try to shift off their health care, retiree health care costs, back to employees, is that they're putting in sort of pennies on the dollar, basically, on their what their retiree health care obligations are. And in this case, it will be 70% of what they owe workers, retired workers, or what they're projecting they'll owe retired workers over the next 50, 60 years. They'll be paying a percentage of the billions of dollars that's projected to be into this fund.
And do we have a rough idea of how that's going to work? Is this health care trust or trust for health and retirement, is it going to take on liabilities, or will it be funded with at least an initial capital contribution from General Motors so that they have a corpus to work with? I mean, how is this going to be administered?
Well, as I said, the devil is really in the details, and there's quite a bit of opposition inside of the union about this. And many rank-and-filers are viewing this as a major concession, mostly because this has not worked out particularly well in for the union in other contracts, particularly Caterpillar, which has been a long-time UAW employer, started the VEBA Trust in 1993. That fund, basically, the actuarial projections were off. They didn't account for the double-digit increases that would happen with health care, and that fund went bankrupt in 2005, left retirees with basically paying co-pays and premiums of $300, $400 a month, really getting whipped with that. It happened again in Detroit Diesel in 2005. In both cases, rank and file members have sued the companies for their benefits. So it hasn't been a particularly successful model to date. So lots of concerns here about that.
Well, and for me, the other issue is that we saw the airline industry use the bankruptcy courts to discharge their responsibility to the employees who built those companies. And I consider it one of the biggest insults and injustices in to workers in recent American history.
Well, that's absolutely right. And we have to keep in mind that this is in the context of a larger health care crisis, that these costs that are driving the company and pushing the company to higher and higher costs and giving it a competitive advantage to other employers, other manufacturers who are not offering the same kinds of benefits. This is a larger crisis, and that in some ways that it reflects the need for the push for on these unions on the part of a single payer or national health care project of some kind.
Well, I've long argued for that the real bailout that we should give Detroit if it asks for another one is national health care.
Right, amen to that. But you're right about the bankruptcy issues. It's very similar to that, and it's very similar in the way of being able to push costs back and move costs around, open up contracts, shred it up in these union industries, and really sort of push the crisis back onto their employees.
Yeah. Now, Chris, let me tell you about my Uncle Charlie. He lives in Plymouth, and he's 86, and the way he describes it, he put in 35 years at Ford's. They refer to it with the apostrophe S there, which seems odd in other parts of the country. But he, you know, viewed it as the family operation that he worked for many years. And he jokes that they call him once a month just to see if he's still alive, and they really have to send that check.
That's absolutely right.
Now,
workers are living too long.
What do we do with the Uncle Charlies? Because certainly they are a burden if you're just objective and look at the cost, the $1,500 roughly per unit produced, that health and mostly retirement costs add to a GM product. It certainly affects their competitiveness, and it creates an incentive for them to take jobs out of the country.
Right. It's absolutely correct. In some ways, we're seeing the legacy of what happened in the late 40s. This is when unions started settling in this country in a different way than they were settling in, say, Western Europe. In Western Europe, you had the sort of post-war agreements that basically unions were pushing in a social democratic way, that pensions and health care and these things were being dealt with in the public sphere. And what you happened here, even though there was a strong labor movement, was essentially you created these private bargaining regimes. And so what happened with auto was that you had the creation of all of these wonderful benefits, and what the things that you were being provided by the state and other countries, but were being issued by private employers. And what's happening is that system is in crisis, is deep in crisis, and especially as you see the percentage of active workers shrink and the percentage of retired workers employed by these companies go off the charts. I mean, something like Ford has four retirees for every active worker. So it's certainly what they're calling legacy costs, and we call our relatives and and retired workers are certainly seeing the pinch with this.
Well, and Uncle Charlie relies on that pension check, and he's entitled to it. It was part of his whole bargain, the collective bargaining agreement that he worked 35 years for. And it's shocking what happened in the airline industry, and I would not put it past Wagner and the other auto chiefs in Detroit that if they feel their backs are against the wall, they'll use bankruptcy to try to escape these obligations.
That's true. It's a real fear, and people like your Uncle Charlie definitely are sweating. I've heard retired workers and with a great deal of anger just, you know, describe their situation. I mean, these are people who put in back-breaking work, driving rivets, sitting on the mind-numbing work that goes into line creating these cars and creating General Motors as a quite wealthy company for so many years. Sense of betrayal and at the end of that of this sort of long period is pretty pronounced amongst people out here.
Chris Katulik with us. He's the editor of Labor Notes based in Detroit. We're talking about the surprisingly short time it took for the workers, the UAW members out on strike to strike a deal with General Motors. We're joined now by Joe from Monterey. Welcome, Joe. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was actually going to call earlier with Garibaldi, but this kind of ties in with these. I used to work for the International Harvester when they got the shaft years ago. You know, I don't mean the metal shaft.
Right, and it wasn't a drive shaft. Yeah.
Like with the automotive and heavy equipment, like Caterpillar. Caterpillar has no excuse for they've had phenomenal orders for heavy equipment, like with the building of the who knows what will happen, the Olympic thing in China and all that, and all the dams being built and stuff. Caterpillar can't keep up with the demand, and these other companies, some of which you mentioned earlier, the heavy equipment, and GM's in on that too, that these people, there was a lady who used to work for Reagan, and she was a whistleblower, and I don't recall her name, but she found that a lot of the pension funds, even the teachers union and stuff, were going into these phony investment like an Enron type scheme.
Well, that's a real important point. Hold on a second, Joe, just a sec, because I think you've raised an important issue here, which is that many of these companies, and we'll ask Chris here if he knows the specifics, particularly about GM, but they have been managing the health and pension funds of their union employees, and often they have borrowed to the hilt from those funds and left them with even greater liabilities and less cash.
She used a stronger term than borrowing. She said they're actually investing and then shuttling the money to the Marshall Islands, and so she had proof of that. She was on Coast to Coast the other night. I don't recall her name. She also wrote.
All right, Joe, hold on, and let's get a response from Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Sure, it is troubling, and the caller is right to put out Caterpillar, which is, you know, is touted in the business press as being this great turnaround model for manufacturing. But what they don't tell you is part of why it's a great turnaround model, or what they view as a great turnaround model, was that they smashed some strikes there in the mid '90s, shoved terrible contracts, and then shortchanged their retirees on the health care benefits.
Yeah.
One troubling thing also about VIBAs is this trust that they're kind of setting up is that some of them have, it's not ironclad that money comes in and stays in. General Motors, in fact, has been has used another one of their VIBAs that was set up for other employees, pulled $1 billion out of that, used $500 million for capital investments, and used another $500 million for other capital investments. So the money is not exactly necessarily ironclad.
Well, then Joe's invocation of Enron there is quite appropriate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And Chris, what you and Joe mentioned, particularly about Caterpillar, is the perfect setup for me, because one of the gratifying aspects that there is a settlement here is that it made a liar out of Jim Cramer, who is the Gordon Gekko of business television. He was on the Tube last night. And it was so offensive because he just kept screaming, using Caterpillar as his model, saying that if General Motors doesn't break the union in this round of negotiations and with the strike that was just settled, that it will kill the company. And that is, it's hyperbole, it's overdramatic, and it's a set of false choices, as if the only option is to bust the union or to, you know, kill the company. And it's just so offensive to me that our corporate media serves that up as fact. And, you know, they had somebody else on there to respond to him, but that person was not nearly as forceful or willing to BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's amazing how little of the focus, and I've heard that same drumbeat when the strike broke out here. You know, there was this sort of, you know, oh, this is, it will ruin Michigan. This is the end of it for us. But there's never much focus on what happened, what choices were made by management, what choices were made by manager. question in terms of designing American cars, in terms of marketing American cars, and the choice to over-rely on the SUV and light trucks market. All of these were conscious management choices by the big three automakers, by the executives of these companies.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow that doesn't make it to the blame,
yeah.
The blame game when it comes to why these American companies, American car manufacturing companies are in such sorry shape.
I want to talk more about that. We'll take a break first. Chris Katulik is our guest. He's the editor of Labor Notes based in Detroit. If you have a question or a comment about this settlement reached between GM and the United Auto Workers, give us a call now, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Want more energy and protection from disease? U.S. Wellness Meats have an ideal omega-3 to 6 ratio, are 2 to 4 times more plentiful in vitamins A and E than grain-fed beef, have one-third fewer calories, and can slow or even halt diabetes. We have been featured for our exceptional taste in Food & Wine magazine and in the New York Times. We are meat that matters to your health, enjoyment, and to our ecology. U.S. Wellness Meats, 1-877-383-0051 or online at www.uswellnessmeats.com. That's 1-877-383-0051.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, hear from the president of National Real Estate Holdings, Jim Ross, as he talks more about his exciting real estate investment opportunity in the great state of Wyoming. Also, we'll have an update on the mortgage rates from one of our experts. That's this Sunday on your number one source for all your real estate needs, Rock Roller Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Red Corvettes and Corvettes of other colors are rolling off the GM assembly lines once again as they settled with the United Auto Workers.
I guess I should know by the way you parked your car sideways. I don't want that. You're the kind of person who believes in making out once. Love them and leave them fast.
We're talking with Chris Katulik. He's the editor of Labor Notes based in Motown, where in the middle of the night, GM and the auto workers reached a settlement. Still working on some of the details, but the broad brush is that the union agreed to transfer the company's obligations for mostly retiree benefits, pension and health care, into a trust fund, and we're still awaiting some of the details on that. And in exchange, there are some guarantees for job security and perhaps a pause or a slowdown in the offshoring of manufacturing jobs that are currently based in the U.S. And, Chris, before the break, we were talking about some of the management problems that the workers essentially are going to pay for. And some of our listeners know that I host a car review feature on radio. It's called Behind the Wheel. And as a result, I'm a lucky guy. I get to test drive new cars. And I have driven just about every car that GM manufactures over the last 10 or 12 years. And I have to say the product is pretty good. And in some cases, the product is excellent. But the over-reliance, as you pointed out, on gas-guzzling SUVs and these high-priced pimp-mobiles like the Cadillac Escalade. And I recently drove a Yukon Denali, and I wanted to change the letters, get a little dyslexic on the logo on the side, and call it the Denial instead of the Denali. Because you've got to be in deep denial to drive something like that. And just a quick story, I was at a traffic light in Berkeley, a center of political correctness here in the Bay Area, and a Berkeley cop pulled up next to me, rolled down the window, and said, "Hey, how do you like that Denali?" And I thought, well, I'm in Berkeley. I said, well, you know, it's a gas guzzler, and I'm embarrassed to be driving it. And he said, well, I'm thinking of buying one. I really like them. So there is a disconnect between consumer demand and what we project on, you know, the best interests of the country and the best interests of the auto industry in terms of the products they produce.
That's true. And I think that and you're right about that many GM cars are fine, are good cars in many ways. But I think that part of what you've seen is that, well, one is the constant drumbeat that these cars aren't smaller cars aren't worth anything. You know, there's sort of this image problem of it. And mm-hmm. two is that the competitive advantage, which is pretty, per unit is pretty high for Toyota and Honda. Mostly because it's they are major U.S. manufacturers too. I think it's that people make a serious effort mistake when they start calling these companies purely Japanese cars. They're producing cars en masse all through the South in these big plants, assembly plants much bigger than plants up here in Michigan now.
All in right-to-work states where they can't be bothered with any, you know, of those nasty union deals.
Right, and injury rates three times what they are in union facilities. That's one thing you don't hear much is that you're having injury rates phenomenally higher on these lines. The fast lines, they're sped up. Workers are making wages close to what they would make in union, mostly to keep the union out. But, you know, they also have terrible health care benefits, you know, nothing to compensate them for that injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I got about a minute and a half remaining here. As we learn more about this settlement, what is it likely to influence in terms of the other Ford and Chrysler deals? Chrysler is on its knees. The German said, please, somebody take this back from us. We will pay you. It was the ransom of Redchief. So what does this portend for auto manufacturing in general?
Well, the deals will be very similar. What's happening in Chrysler, and Chrysler especially, as you say, was paid to taken off Daimler's hands. Now, it's particularly bad, mostly because you have this sort of shadowy private equity fund called Cerberus, which literally is sort of the three-headed dog from Hades, right? The company is taking it over, and they specialize in what they call strip and flip, right, which is putting money in, short-term capital in, cutting the company down to the bones, and then flipping it back into as a public company.
Right.
So this is the track record of these private equity funds, particularly sort of troubling at Chrysler. I imagine you'll see very similar deal about Viva. Although the Chrysler unit, the unit union there is actually fairly strong, so we might see some more resistance there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to add that I haven't asked you about?
No, I think that the focus of the main fight, the ongoing fight from this, is probably a national fight or a political fight around health care. As I said earlier, I think that's the point where this is going, if there's going to be any resolution in a progressive manner.
And I think it is a harbinger of the future of manufacturing in the United States in general.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Great to talk to you again.
It was a pleasure being on the show.
Chris Katulik, Labor Notes. He's the editor there based in Motor City, Detroit. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, Mary Nichols, the chair of the California Air Resources Board, Schwarzenegger's point person on global warming. It's going to be interesting. Stay tuned. This program is produced in San Francisco by the incredible Katrina Rill. Our website is peterbcollins.com.
If you have past due problem debt, we can help. Whether you have personal debt problems or business debt, we can save you anywhere from 40 to 80% off that debt. My name is Rhonda, and I am with BHR & Associates, and we are professional debt negotiators. We charge nothing up front, and if we can't help you, there is no fee. You will have the option to accept or not accept any settlement we reach on your behalf. Remember, no results, no fee. We will be happy to discuss this with you further. There's no obligation whatsoever. Please get in touch with us now for more details and information. Call now. Ask for Rhonda. I will be happy to review your situation.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888. That's 888-581-5888.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Congress gets the bill for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan,
bringing the total FY08 DOD request to nearly $190 billion.
At the Phil Spector trial.
At this time, I will find that the jury is unable to arrive at a verdict and declare a mistrial in this matter.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Fiscal year 2008 will be the most expensive since the war started. The Senate Appropriations Committee got the news today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Defense Secretary Gates asked for a whopping $190 billion to cover war costs for the next year, a big jump.
$37.6 billion to repair and replace equipment that has been destroyed, damaged, or stressed by the ongoing conflicts.
While the president insists other spending fall within the budget, he wants all the Iraq money to be borrowed. Democrat Robert Byrd told him not to expect a rubber stamp. Approval.
The Congress has now appropriated over $450 billion for the nefarious, infernal war in Iraq.
Shame. Byrd was Shame. Cheered on by war protesters, Shame. But later lost patience with their outbursts.
Let's get this room cleared. Enough of this.
Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This may be bad for the economy, but it's good for the defense industry. We asked Howard Rubel of Jefferies & Company about stocks to watch.
There's a lot of pent-up replacement requirements, so names like a Lockheed or a General Dynamics, which in the latter case supply a lot of equipment to the Army, would benefit.
The Amex Defense Index, which tracks 14 major defense contractors, reached a new high in trading this afternoon. Now this.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's gotta last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it. By taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Goodwrench service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, four tire rotation, and Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Goodwrench and Go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Goodwrench and Go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com.
At the murder trial of music producer Phil Spector, jurors came back after 12 days of deliberation to say they were hopelessly deadlocked. Judge Larry Paul Fiddler polled the jury.
Juror number one, do you think there's anything more that can be done that would assist you or any other juror in arriving at a verdict in this case?
No.
Juror number two.
No, Your Honor.
It went on like that, and Fidler declared a mistrial in the case that dates back to February 2003 when actress Lana Clarkson was fatally shot in Spector's Los Angeles home. This juror says they did their best.
There's deep regret that we were unable to reach a unanimous verdict. I don't think any jury has worked harder than the jury on this trial.
The DA promptly announced he'll seek a new trial. Senator Larry Craig has put off his plan to resign on Sunday. The Idaho Republican wants to wait for a ruling on his bid to withdraw his guilty plea in that Minneapolis airport sex sting. There was a court hearing today. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman was there.
Prosecutors argued that Larry Craig knew exactly what he was doing when he pleaded guilty. Patrick Hogan is with the Metropolitan Airports Commission.
The defendant unequivocally pled guilty to the crime of disorderly conduct.
But lawyers representing Craig repeatedly claimed the senator did not commit a crime. Attorney Billy Martin.
Senator Larry Craig denies that he went into that restroom for anything other than to go to the restroom.
The judge took the motion under submission. A ruling's expected next week. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the District Courthouse in Edina, Minnesota.
In Yangon, Myanmar, the military government security forces opened fire on a crowd of demonstrators, killing at least one, and witnesses say dozens of Buddhist monks were beaten and dragged away by police. At the State Department, spokesman Tom Casey called on China, a major trading partner of Myanmar, to use its influence.
This is an important issue. We have already put sanctions in place. We're expanding what we have. The EU is doing the same, as I understand it, and we would like to see other countries follow suit.
The UN Security Council calls on Myanmar's government to exercise restraint. At a General Motors plant in Buffalo.
I think it's good to be back to work.
Members of the United Auto Workers ended their two-day strike when the union and GM reached a tentative agreement that calls for the company to fund a retiree health care trust fund and keep jobs at U.S. plants. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there, arrive.
And now for the bonus round. Friday multiplied by Saturday equals
Tuesday at 2:30.
Correct. Sean's hair is 4.5 inches longer than Chad's. How tall is Chad?
5'8".
Correct. What's the new way to get movies from Netflix?
Come on, instantly on your PC.
Correct! Netflix. Now there's two ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail fast and instantly on your PC in as little as 30 seconds. Netflix, it's that easy. Five movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for start time and 5x5 details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. Glad to be back with you. I want to thank Larry Bensky for sitting in for me yesterday. Got to rest my voice, and I think it's going to hold up. Coming up later this hour, Larissa Alexandrovna joins us, the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com. She's got an explanation that many of us have been searching for. Is it true that Israel recently launched an airstrike on Syria, and was it a nuclear facility? Or, as W would say, a nuclear facility. And next hour, a couple of comedians will join us. They do political humor. Johnny Steele and Richard Stockton want to invite our Central Coast listeners to a new monthly comedy event that launches next week in Santa Cruz. And we're standing by right now to talk with Mary Nichols. She is Governor Schwarzenegger's top advisor on global warming issues, working to implement AB 32, the landmark legislation passed last year, and we now know deeply opposed by the Bush administration. It's a beautiful day around San Francisco Bay. A nice Indian summer, September kind of day. But last week was strange. It was very overcast and unusual for this time of year. And I know, you know, whenever these kinds of things occur, you want to scratch your head and say, well, is it part of global warming? You don't always know. But there are a lot of developments in the issues related to California's groundbreaking efforts to deal with an issue that the federal government under the Bush administration just refuses to confront. And the contrasts are quite stark. At the United Nations General Assembly, which is focused on global warming issues this year, George W. Bush only went to a dinner on Monday. He refused to attend the working group sessions, and he has a competing approach. He's going to convene some meetings of world leaders, the top polluters and emitters, and try to, you know, knock some heads together and get them to agree to a voluntary scheme to reduce these emissions. And to his credit, Governor Schwarzenegger gave a very powerful speech to the UN touting his efforts here in California. And, he really stands apart from his Republican colleagues in recognizing that it's a critical issue and that in doing something about it, we have opportunities to create new jobs and new industries. There is a win-win scenario here that people like Bush often overlook because they're captive to the capitalists and the corporate interests and the extractors in so many cases. So there are interesting developments, and the contrast, as I say, could not be more apparent. Now, it's also fair to say that Mary Nichols jumped into a hot seat as chair of the California Air Resources Board, because she replaced Robert Sawyer as chairman, and he exited along with Catherine Witherspoon earlier this year. Witherspoon and Sawyer said that the governor's office had kind of leaned on them to limit the range of implementations of new policies related to AB 32. And, excuse me, I'm working through a little cough here. So it's a tough situation for Mary Nichols, who is a distinguished attorney who has worked on environmental issues for many years. And from all indications, she is moving in that job and moving things along. So I think we have Mary Nichols right now. And thank you for joining us today, the chair of the California Air Resources Board.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the time, and pardon me, I'm working through a little cough here.
Oh, okay.
How are you today?
Just fine, thank you.
Well, good. I was just describing the transition as you took over after Robert Sawyer resigned and Catherine Witherspoon, the executive director. Have you hired a new executive director, and do you find that the governor's office is completely cooperating with your efforts?
I've not yet hired an executive director because I wanted to take the time to really get reestablished there. And frankly, I'm a hands-on kind of person, and I wanted to do the job myself for a while before bringing in somebody else to run the operation on a day-to-day basis. And I have found the governor's office has been very receptive to all of my ideas and have given me support, encouragement, and most important, cheered me on to do all the things that I thought needed to be done.
Well, you come to the post with excellent credentials. If you could briefly describe for our listeners the kind of work you've done as an environmental attorney.
Sure. I've been an environmental lawyer for a long time. I started out in 1971, right out of law school, with an organization called the Center for Law and the Public Interest. And that was back when the Federal Clean Air Act had just been passed and some of the California laws had been lying around for a while but weren't really being enforced. And so as a brand new lawyer with my license to practice, I started filing lawsuits on behalf of groups like the California Lung Association and the Sierra Club. And we won some important victories that really gave teeth to the new laws at that point. I was appointed by Jerry Brown, then governor, to the Air Resources Board, and so that was my first stint at the ARB, and eventually after a couple of years, I became chair, which is the job that I hold today, although the job was a little bit different back in those days.
Well, indeed, AB 32 gave the Air Resources Board a whole new raft of responsibilities.
That's correct. It's really expanded our portfolio in some exciting and wonderful ways, but it definitely presents a challenge to the agency to step up and become experts in a lot of things that we've not had to deal with before.
And describe for us exactly how this works, because AB 32, of course, was passed by the legislature and signed into law by the governor. It gives greater power to the Air Resources Board, but does it essentially replace the legislature in developing law and policy?
Well, it does hand some of the assignments to the Air Resources Board, but it's not a turnover of power by any manner of means. Basically, to give the outlines of this, what the legislature did was to set a cap on emissions of greenhouse gases in the state of California. It's now the law that by the year 2020, the total amount of greenhouse gas emissions going into the air from California has to be reduced back to the levels that they were in 1990. So we're talking about a rollback of about 25%, roughly, as best we know today, of all of the carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions that are coming out from California businesses, cars, landfills, you know, everything that emits into the atmosphere. So then the job goes to the Air Resources Board to develop, first of all, an inventory methodology. That's kind of what we're experts in doing, that kind of emissions inventory reporting, record keeping rules, that sort of stuff, to come up with a list of early action measures, which were defined as being things that could actually be put into effect and get cost-effective reductions by the year 2010, and then to submit to the legislature what's called a scoping plan for all of the other measures that need to be taken to achieve the goals of AB 32. At that point, we're going to have to then tell the legislature which things can be done through existing authorities and which ones are going to require new legislation. And, of course, the legislature along the way is going to be looking over our shoulders very closely because they're very concerned, as they should be, that this thing be done well.
Do they have direct oversight, or is it just they control your budget?
Well, I would say both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, they control our budget and they confirm our members and so forth. But I think they have the opportunity any time they want to change the direction or invalidate some regulation if they don't like it. That has been known to happen in the past. But so far, we've been getting a good response.
Mary Nichols with us, the chair of the California Air Resources Board, as we've mentioned. It is the front line in implementing AB 32 and leading California as Washington drags its heels. And Chairman Nichols, just as we were waiting for you to join us, I was talking about the contrast between President Bush's lukewarm approach to the United Nations and this General Assembly session on climate change and the speech that Governor Schwarzenegger gave, which it's just night and day. Schwarzenegger's not in denial, and he's not afraid to confront the vested interests that want to resist the changes and the reductions in emissions as long as possible.
Well, yes, I have to say, as you probably know, I'm a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was working for Gray Davis in his administration at the time of the recall, so I was not exactly a supporter of Arnold Schwarzenegger
when
he ran for governor. And frankly, I wasn't convinced in the beginning that he was serious about this. But having watched his actions during the legislative negotiations on AB 32 and then listened to some of the things he had to say and then finally met with him when I was approached about taking on the job, I am absolutely convinced of his sincerity here. And I do think the fact that he's willing to throw his international celebrity status and his energy into this fight makes a huge difference for California, because it's just going to be so much harder for the Bush administration to shut us down.
And they've been attempting to do that in the form of Mary Peters, the new Secretary of Transportation. We need to take a break, and then we'll talk about those efforts just revealed in the recent days by the San Francisco Chronicle. Mary Nichols is our guest, chair of the California Air Resources Board. If you have a question or a comment on the Schwarzenegger efforts on global warming or AB 32, give us a call now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372, 18 after the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic on this hump day. And let's start off with a Monterey crash. It's working on northbound Highway 1 at 218. It's on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this crash. And what I can tell you is that it appears that CHP is now on scene there. Also want to mention the fact that we do have a problem being reported in Watsonville. This is on East Front Street at Main Street. On the right shoulder, it's a three-car crash. And that's the way that looks. Northbound and southbound 17 looking great at this point. Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 at Emmeline, the off-ramp is closed until next summer. The support brought to you by the NFL and your child. The NFL's Take a Player to School sweepstakes, and you can win a chance to go to school with an NFL player. For official rules and enter, go to NFLRush.com today. No purchase necessary. That's traffic on KRXA.
California Air Resources Board.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning.
a spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our industry.
That's Dr. Elmo. He trashed Christmas with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and now he's working on Halloween. That's called Global Warming from his latest CD. Is that on your iPod, Mary Nichols?
No, but I've got to get it.
Well, send me your email, and I'll send it on over to you.
Oh, great.
You can download it. It's a cute little song. Now, as we mentioned just before the break, Governor Schwarzenegger has gotten some resistance to his initiatives here in California to deal with global warming from the Republican Bush administration. And the San Francisco Chronicle reports this week, based on an investigation by Henry Waxman, the congressman from Los Angeles, that according to him and a disclosure of some email traffic between Secretary Peters and her staff, the administration is trying to stack the deck against California's efforts to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. It suggests that political considerations, not the merits of the issue, will determine how EPA acts. And the emails released show that they were in particular working with Michigan legislators and the Michigan governor, almost all of whom are Democrats. So this is a very interesting a collusion of forces, and it suggests that you and Governor Schwarzenegger have a lot to contend with.
Well, yes. First of all, we do owe a debt of gratitude to Congressman Waxman for having revealed this information. He's using his authority to go after this kind of backroom dealing in the administration, and it's good to have it out in the open. It may shock some people, I suppose, to find out that Democrats are actually working against a state's effort to do something about global warming emissions from automobiles, but we're talking about the Michigan delegation. And we know that for many years now they've been dedicated to protecting the auto industry. And, you know, the auto industry needs protecting, but it doesn't need protecting from this kind of legislation, because what we're trying to do in California will actually allow the auto companies to sell some of the cleaner, better vehicles that they now are selling in Europe and Asia in the United States, and push them further in the direction that they need to go, which is making cars that are more efficient and lighter, use better materials, and emit less greenhouse gases. We have survived a number of legal attacks. We've agreed that we will comply with all the requirements of the Federal Clean Air Act by going to EPA and asking for a waiver. We've filed all of our papers well over a year ago, demonstrating that we meet the tests under the Federal Clean Air Act, which have gotten California waivers 54 times over the last decade to enforce our own stricter emission standards. But this time around, EPA is delaying and hemming and hawing, and I'm sure that they're reluctant to give us the waiver, given the political stance of the Bush administration, but they really don't have any good excuse at this point. So, unfortunately, we're going to end up having to go back to court again, this time to sue just to get an action on the waiver. And then, if they don't give it to us, we're going to have to sue over that. And really, it's very depressing. And I think, you know, to the extent that this is all being orchestrated by the companies, they're making a big mistake, because they would be better off actually just giving us the cleaner cars that we know they can make, recognizing that global warming is a fact of life, and that they're going to be required to produce these cars that are cleaner, and get on with it.
Well, I think the Bush administration's position is aptly described by a phrase that actually came out of the mouths of one of the guys, one of the top Justice Department officials who jumped out of the fifth floor window recently and said that, we want to gum it to death and run out the clock.
Yeah.
Now, what is your reaction to the federal judge throwing out the lawsuit that Bill Lockyer had filed as when he was the attorney general against the automakers, saying that global warming is their fault and that they should, you know, pay the state of California for the damage they've caused to our environment?
Well, this is a case that was brought, as you said, by the Attorney General, who is a separately elected constitutional official and has the right to bring cases in the name of the people in his own right. And it was a case that a number of other states were also involved in. There are a couple of bad precedents, I think, that are set by the opinion. And so I'm hoping that our current Attorney General, Jerry Brown, will appeal this to the Ninth Circuit and at least get some of the court's bad language overturned. But I want to say in context here that although auto emissions are certainly a major chunk, transportation is about 40% of the total greenhouse gas problem in California. The rest of it is made up of all kinds of other industrial sources, our electricity sector,
Don't forget the happy cows.
Not just the autos.
What about the happy cows?
The happy cows. Well, methane gas emissions, not so much just from cows, but from all kinds of waste materials, are a major greenhouse gas. And methane, I mean, ironically, can be captured and used as a fuel, and it's a very efficient fuel. So there are definitely things that we can do that don't involve automobiles that will make a huge difference in getting us towards our goal of stabilizing the climate.
Mary Nichols, thanks for joining us. Let's talk again.
Thank you.
Chair of the California Air Resources Board on the front lines of the battle against global warming. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Mahmoud's Revenge. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Iran's frontman, has his revenge. Maybe you heard his UN speech yesterday.
In the last 2 years, abusing the Security Council, the arrogant powers.
Arrogant powers? Does he mean us?
Unfortunately, the Security Council was influenced by some bullying powers.
Bullying powers? I think he does mean us. He should just shut up and do what we say like everybody else does. But, of course, we all know the reason he's sore.
Iran's official news agency says that many Iranians are outraged over the hateful and impolite words used against their president.
CBS's Tehran correspondent reports that Iranians are angry because of the nasty intro their leader got at Columbia University.
An Iranian parliament official calls American behavior part of a disgusting plot.
However, Iranian censors, it turns out, were able to protect sensitive Iranian ears from the worst of it.
Government TV cut the sound of American students booing and hissing Ahmadinejad.
Yes. So, I'm guessing this is how the speech must have played back home.
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country.
No booing. It must be true. I guess some men here just happen to enjoy tight, shiny pants. That's just my guess. But at least one Iranian official thought it was Ahmadinejad's own fault.
A former Iranian minister, however, thinks that Ahmadinejad caused the mess by wearing a black suit instead of a white one.
Yes. He should have worn a white suit. A tight, shiny, white suit. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Monterey Toreadors have invited the Santa Cruz Cardinals to come play at MPC this Friday. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 34 minutes after the hour. And over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of speculation. We know that there was some sort of an aerial assault conducted by Israel on a location, a facility in neighboring Syria. It occurred on September 6th. President Bush declined to answer questions about it at a news conference last week. And in many respects, we haven't been able to get the straight scoop on what occurred, and if, in fact, it was a nuclear facility that Syria is trying to expand or develop there. And one of our favorite investigative journalists, Larissa Alexandrovna, joins us now. She's the managing editor for investigations at rawstory.com, and she broke the story on Monday of this week about that Israeli airstrike. Larissa, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm getting over a sinus crud thing, but I'm going to survive.
I hope you can hear me okay because I'm stuck in a terrible storm in my car.
Okay. Well, you sound okay. There is actual background noise of a terrible storm.
Well, if you hear, a crash, that's me.
Okay. Well, I hope you're not driving and reporting at the same time.
I wouldn't call this driving because I'm going about as slow as a snail. It's awfully terrible weather. So.
Okay, where are you, and is this a tropical storm?
This is a tropical storm, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no electricity, so I had to get in the car to talk to you.
Oh, my gosh. How long has the power been out?
A couple of hours.
Uh-huh. And you're in the Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach area?
I am in the Palm Beach area right now.
Palm Beach, okay. And is this a significant event or just a nasty storm?
No. It's just a fairly nasty storm. I think it may be a tropical storm. I don't think quite, but it's certainly not what we've seen here before, like Wilma and Francis. Those two, if you recall, Wilma took my metal shutters out of my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally. So, this is fine.
Good.
To me, this is nothing.
All right. Well, if you need to, put the phone down to drive, you just let us know because your safety and those around you is important.
This is just... Actually, I'm going to pull over as soon as I can get to a side street.
Okay.
Go ahead. Let's do the show.
You bet. The headline of your story, Israeli airstrike did not hit nuclear facility, intelligence officials say. Your story is sourced from some unnamed sources and some named sources, including Vincent Canestraro, who many people know, director of intelligence programs in the NSC, the National Security Council, for President Reagan. And he also worked at the CIA's counterterrorism center under the first President Bush. And you have another source, a foreign journalist, as well as some that you can't name. But this event on September 6th, many people have speculated, was an Israeli airstrike on a nuclear weapons facility in Syria. What have you been able to find out?
I'm not sure where the nuclear disinformation is coming from. It was not a nuclear weapons facility. But it doesn't make it any less frightening because, as you know, if there's any bogus kind of disinformation and panic kind of stories planted, I'm usually the first to debunk them. But in this case, there was a reason, I think, a justifiable reason, not necessarily to bomb, but certainly to be concerned. The facility, and there may be more than one, basically they were trying to fit North Korean Nodong missiles with chemical warheads,
mm-hmm.
and there was an accident. And that accident basically identified the facility and what they were doing there.
Oh, I see. And then the airstrike followed the accident?
Not immediately. And that's, I think, where some of the confusion is because, for me, I thought, okay, this really, is certainly up in the air as a justifiable reason. But what bothers me is the timing because they waited. This was in July, and they, didn't do anything until September. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Perhaps they were waiting for sort of an agreement from Washington. I don't know. But there's no clear answer as to why the timing of it was when it was.
Now, if you would, please put on your foul weather speculative cap. Because as I look at this, I'm just highly suspicious of the motives of the Bush administration and
right.
its ally Israel, as we see the saber rattling toward Iran and the fairly relentless demonization of Syria. And
right.
I say that not in any way defending Syria or holding it up as any kind of a model nation or government. But the aims of the Bush administration are suspect in my view. And so, first of all, if this incident when they attempted to put you identify it as possibly a sarin gas weapon on the
right.
tip of a North Korean Nodong missile, and we're going to try not to make any dong jokes here today,
okay.
that there was an accident and as many as 50 people may have been killed. Now,
right.
wouldn't it be in the interest of the Bush administration to make that public as soon as possible as part of its effort to make Syria out as a rogue nation?
Yeah, but the problem is that North Korea was helping out, and if you recall, we're trying to play nice with North Korea. Some neoconservatives think that we're playing a little too nice. So that's one issue. Another issue is, and on this point, I am in fact speculating, so please don't, take this as fact, but or at least as fact as in terms of I've gotten this from other people. My feeling is that they've written a narrative for Iran and for Syria, really. And there's this nuclear weapons program. And so if you introduce an entire new line of reasoning or another line of propaganda, it might confuse people or make them suspect. It's just my opinion. They're trying to keep the narrative simple,
mm-hmm.
nuclear weapons.
I understand that, but also it falls under that category of WMD, and the Bush administration has been willing to use that, whether it was true or not.
Right, but they haven't been saying WMD. They've been saying nuclear.
You're right.
With regard to Iran.
Correct.
So now if they say chemical, they need to be able to tie this into their Iran narrative.
Mm-hmm. All right, now
this is why you might see all this, the Israelis recovered, samples of nuclear isotopes or whatever it was that was in the news cycle,
mm-hmm.
where you saw the I believe it was London Times, it was the Washington Post, the New York Times, all basically reported the same absurd thing, And the reality is there was no one I've spoken with, including, as you pointed out, one person on that who could go on the record because they are no longer with the Central Intelligence Agency. Everyone basically agreed that Syria is nowhere near and anywhere in terms of being able to have a weapons-grade uranium enrichment program of any sort, and they're not even pursuing it because they're far more advanced in their chemical weaponry. That said, they're still not capable of loading a chemical warhead onto a legacy missile, so it's not going to go too far, but they're still unable to do that. So even with their advancements, they're still out there in the boonies and the dark ages compared to Israel and certainly us. So I think there is an issue of concern in terms of Israel's safety with regard to that question. I don't see this as the same type of propaganda because, the people I've talked to are generally people who are not part of this viewpoint that Iran is a direct and immediate threat to us. They have not been pushing the propaganda that we've seen so often. And so there's no reason for them to suddenly begin making things up. And they, as usual, there is apparently some propaganda, but I don't believe it's coming from the people I've talked with. There's no motivation for it.
We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna at rawstory.com, and this is a very powerful breakthrough story. You can find it on the site. It was posted on September 24th. And what I do is go to Raw Exclusives and click on Larissa Alexandrovna, and then all of the articles that she has published are right there on a list. And since you're driving in a rainstorm, let me just lift some of the facts here from the article and share them with people, and then we'll discuss a little further. You describe that intelligence sources familiar with the events say that an explosion on July 20th at a Syrian facility near the city of Halab, H-A-L-A-B, in the northern part of Syria, caused Israel's retaliatory strike on September 6th. Now, that is a fact. We know that Israel launched an airstrike, and it has just been murky because neither Tel Aviv nor Washington has wanted to reveal details about this.
But someone is leaking the nuclear weapons story. That's for sure. The question is who?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. North Korean scientists working with Syrian military and intelligence officials attempted to load a chemical warhead on one of the North Korean missiles, likely the Nodong-1 model, according to intelligence current and former intelligence officers interviewed for the article. The result was an explosion that killed a few of those present and, according to some official reports, as many as 50 civilians. The Sana News Agency described the blast at the time as not the result of sabotage, but an explosion resulting from the combustion of sensitive, highly explosive material caused by extremely high temperatures. The Nodong-1 missile, and people have probably heard the terminology a little bit before, because it was the Taipodong-3, which is an intercontinental ballistic missile with which North Korea tested and scared the hell out of Japan about a year and a half ago.
Right, but this is not that same missile. This is a legacy missile.
And by legacy, you mean that it's like a 1980s model?
80s and maybe early 90s, but in any case, not only legacy, but also, second-hand, third-hand, so it's probably not even workable.
So not even a one-owner, low-mileage beauty?
No, I mean, and on top of that, they couldn't even load it. So, I mean, there you go.
So you say that it's a redesigned Scud C, and people know about Scuds, which don't have a great reputation for accuracy or even just getting them to launch.
Right. I mean, this is a redesigned version of a Russian model. So there you have it. I mean, when it was the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't a very. But Israel is very close to Syria. They're on the border. So how far does it need to go to just go over the border? So I understand their concern. I just think that given that these guys couldn't even load it,
yep.
I think that, I'm not sure why they bombed when they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it was an immediate reaction, I think I would have it would have made more sense to me.
Yep.
At this point, at that point, it was like, okay, you now know what they were doing. You know where they were doing it. And you wait a month and a half before you take out the rest. It's possible they were hoping to identify the other facilities, because I would think that no one would be storing, and this is certainly something that other people have suggested to me, they wouldn't be storing the missiles at the same place that they're doing the chemical, where the chemical lab is, because you don't want all your eggs in one basket. So it's possible they were just trying to see if they could monitor this area and see if they could identify the other facility. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and return. Larissa, you drive carefully in the next 3 minutes, so we'll get right back to you.
Okay.
47 minutes after the hour, Larissa Alexandrovna with us from rawstory.com. You can read her article there. And if you have a question or comment, call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic, and let's do start off with a problem being reported from the CHP. It's located in, well, here it is, Aromas. San Juan Road at Aromas Road, a large bag of potting soil in the lanes being reported there. Also in Aptos, Seacliff Drive at West Benito. It's a two-vehicle crash reportedly blocking a lane there, and police should be on scene there handling that situation. Also want to mention Felton Mount Hermon Road at Graham Hill Road. We have a disabled vehicle, and it is blocking a lane there. Checking northbound and southbound one between Monterey and Carmel. Looks like traffic moving pretty smoothly at this point. No pockets, no slowing in any pockets at this point. What's the Chrysler's model year and clearance sale going on now? Hurry in to take advantage of 0% long-term financing on a great selection of remaining 07 Chrysler models.
We resume now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Check out this song. It's from the late 1980s, a British band called The The. It's got a happy little theme. It's called Armageddon Days Are Here Again.
Drives across the blue to red sky, moving in from the east towards the west, with battleclava helmets over the east. Yes. Blue
Christ is coming. Honey, you got another thing coming. If he ever finds out who's hijacked his name, we'll cut out his heart and turn in his grave. His lamb is rising, the Christians mobilizing. The world is on its elbows and knees. It's the gospel of mercy and worships the creed.
Islam is rising, Christians mobilizing.
Can I just say something about that song? Doesn't it remind you of like a weird combination between the Ramones and the Stray Cats?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I used to be a DJ in college, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, I really love that band, and they didn't get very far in the U.S., and it was a pair of brothers, Matt Johnson. And the other brother committed suicide just before their big U.S. tour, I think in about 89 or 90. And Yeah, got a chance to interview him, and he was a very depressed guy. That's all I can say. Anyway, I think the song is somewhat prophetic and somewhat profound, given how long ago it was written. And we do have this kind of, you know, clash of the ages shaping up here. We're talking with Larissa from RawStory.com. She's got the scoop here, a fascinating explanation of things that, as we said, Washington and Tel Aviv have been very tight-lipped about. In fact, there's been a kind of disinformation campaign to suggest that Israel's airstrike hit a nuclear facility in Syria. And here's a quote that Larissa picks up from Vincent Canestraro, as we mentioned, served in the Reagan and Bush administrations at the CIA and the National Security Council. He said that the site that the Israelis hit was absolutely not a nuclear weapons facility. And I'll translate that for the benefit of the president, who I'm sure is listening. Absolutely not a nuclear facility.
It's not a nuclear vessel.
Yeah. And you go on, or he goes on, you quote him, Syria has a small nuclear research facility and has had it for several years. It is not capable of enriching uranium to weapons capability levels. Some Israelis speculated that the Syrians had succeeded in doing just that, but according to U.S. intelligence expert, it is simply not true.
There you go.
He does it.
You know, look, the other people, for obvious reasons, cannot put their name to the information. But here you have someone who can, and this is someone who served in the highest positions of intelligence and still has those types of clearances, and is willing to put their name to it. I don't understand where everyone else is getting their information from on this nuclear site. I mean, no one is on the record in any of these articles. So, you know, baffled is, I think, the best way to describe it.
And you further quote him as saying, Syria has a chemical weapons capability and has been trying to chemically weaponize warheads on their existing stocks of North Korean-originated missiles. Now, to me, that's alarming enough.
And
you know, I do not see any reason why the U.S. and Israel are being coy or downright dissembling about these issues.
I said the same thing to everyone I talked to. I said, I don't understand. That's fairly damning. Finally, they have the WMD they're looking for. Not that they're looking for, but they have WMD. Let's just put it that way.
Well, they've been wishing.
But
you know,
they want to tie Iraq into this narrative, maybe, and say, you know, this is what happened to the nuclear, the WMD nuclear weapons. Saddam smuggled them into Syria. Remember, there was that whole big propaganda effort to say that. That's what had happened. It's possible they're trying to clean up everything into a nice narrative. I don't know.
Well, they've got a lot of work to do on that.
Sure.
But this is the wish.
I don't know how else to account for why they need to have... I can't... If it was just one publication or one journalist, but certainly it was more than one publication and more than one journalist, and in different countries, I might add. So clearly they're talking to somebody. They're not cooking these stories. The question is, are they talking to political hacks, which is what I suspect, because if you look at some of the sourcing, it's a U.S. military official, and that likely means, you know, of the Iranian directorate variety.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They replaced the Office of Special Plans.
Right. Yep. Doug Feith and the folks who cooked up intelligence for the pre-Iraq propaganda campaigns were replaced by a new team, as you reported to us earlier this year.
Right. And so it does, you know, it'd be one thing if it was defense intelligence, but what I'm seeing sourced when I look an article and I see the source being described as a DOD official, you know, to me, that doesn't mean defense intelligence. That, to me, sounds like a political appointee or a political staffer of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound to me like a someone in the, you know, the standard military wouldn't know this. It would be an intelligence op. If it was run out of DOD, that they would, let's say, examine the site afterwards or they had the intelligence, it would be going through the DIA.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where this is coming from, but it's clearly, I mean, I talked to enough people to say to feel comfortable writing this. So clearly something is amiss here, but I'm not sure what it is.
Now, Larissa, this is a breakthrough story. It's a scoop. It's quite a coup. I imagine that you've gotten calls from the New York Times and others that they'd like to pick up your story.
No, actually, I've been in communications with the Sunday London Times because they ran the the scoop that the Israeli I'm actually apparently in power again.
Oh, good.
They ran the scoop that the Israeli commandos went in into Syria and collected samples.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was nuclear materials of some sort. And so, they were certainly concerned that their story and our story was very different.
Mm-hmm. But the U.S. media still has not picked this up.
No, but they've stopped reporting their nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So
very
maybe, you know, I often find that if I'm the only voice, and mm-hmm. usually that's the case, that the argument ends right after I publish something.
Gotta go. Larissa, enjoy the storm. Thanks for joining us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Phil Spector's murder case ended today in a mistrial.
Back it up.
The wild-haired music producer left the Los Angeles courthouse after jurors told the judge they were hopelessly deadlocked and he declared a mistrial. This man was on the panel.
Each juror weighed all of the evidence, and I believe that it wasn't just one fact alone.
At the end, they were split 10-2, but didn't say whether they were leaning toward conviction or acquittal. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
The judge really had no choice but to do this after nearly 2 weeks of deliberations. He simply couldn't force those jurors back into that room to continue to deliberate. So now jurors are delighted to be free from the burden. The defendant is delighted not to be going to jail. And prosecutors are disappointed that all their hard work led to such an ambiguous result.
They will seek a retrial. Defense Secretary Robert Gates, before the Senate Appropriations Committee today, said he needs $190 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan next year.
I urge the Congress to approve the complete global war on terror request as quickly as possible and without excessive and counterproductive restrictions.
The chairman, Democrat Robert Byrd, was making no promises.
This committee will not, in OT, not rubber stamp every request that is submitted by the president.
The cheers came from anti-war protesters in the room. When they got too boisterous, Byrd had them ejected. A federal judge in Portland, Oregon, has declared two provisions of the Patriot Act unconstitutional because the government can obtain search warrants without showing probable cause. Judge Ann Aiken ruled in the case of attorney Brandon Mayfield, who was mistakenly linked to the Madrid train bombings in 2004. He got an apology from Washington and a $2 million settlement. September 30th, next Sunday, was penciled in on Senator Larry Craig's calendar as the day he planned to step down. But the Idaho Republican got out his eraser today, putting off resignation until a judge in Minnesota renders a decision. The judge heard arguments today on Craig's bid to withdraw his guilty plea in that airport men's room sex sting.
In court, the key question seemed to be, did Larry Craig really know what he was doing when he pleaded guilty? The prosecution said yes.
The plea was made voluntarily. Accurately.
Patrick Hogan is a spokesman for the prosecution. Defense attorneys told the court even if Craig did plead guilty, he's not guilty and the plea should be thrown out. Craig's attorney Billy Martin.
What he did was not a crime.
The judge is not expected to issue a ruling until sometime next week. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the District Courthouse in Edina, Minnesota.
The Dow's climbing back toward 14,000 today. It gained 99 points to close at 13,878. The NASDAQ was up 15 points to 26.99. This is CBS News.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there, arrive.
Just imagine what you can accomplish today. You can start your own company. You can paint a portrait. Or cook a gourmet meal, or just be yourself. Every day, we're free to accomplish all kinds of fascinating things. And for generations, the people of Sitco have been providing energy for our achievements, big and small. With access to the largest crude reserves in the Western Hemisphere, the people of Sitco are here to help fuel our way of life. Sitco, there at every turn.
A bird's eye view puts a whole new perspective on a Navy facility in California. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the story.
The barracks on Coronado Island, San Diego, are four L-shaped buildings, but the way they're connected makes them look like a swastika. That's become more noticeable as people look at satellite photos from above at websites. Morris Casuto of the Anti-Defamation League says after 9 months of discussions, the Navy agrees.
The buildings on a federal facility in the shape of one of the most hated symbols in human history had to be changed.
Remodeling work will cost the Navy $600,000. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Is drunken walking a crime? A federal judge in Lansing, Michigan, has blocked enforcement of a state law that requires people to submit to breathalyzer tests without a warrant, even if they're not driving. The law was challenged by four students who were forced to take breath tests as they left a post-prom party. One of them was cited for being a minor in possession of alcohol. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So, I'm driving downtown in my Buick, and I pass by this girl. She's got on those really big sunglasses all the celebs wear. So I'm thinking, someday, she's gonna regret looking like a bug. Real style is never just a flavor of the month. It's gotta last. Like my Buick. It looks and drives beautifully. And years from now, you can bet it won't be out of style. Especially because I take such good care of it. By taking it to the professionals at my Buick dealer. Down the Good Wrench service lane.
Can't stop thinking about it.
The other day, I asked for an oil change, four tire rotation, and Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection, performed by a GM-trained expert. So it's Good Wrench and Go to help keep my Buick running as great as it looks. And that's a picture I won't regret.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Fall is a great time to Good Wrench and Go for all your maintenance needs. See your local Buick Good Wrench dealer today or log on to goodwrench.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This land is your land. Oh, well, it was. Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone momentarily.
As I was walking, living up highway, I saw above me, running the skyway. I saw below me, a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed them rambles and followed my footsteps. Sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, and all around me a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
We just checked the First Amendment is still in full effect, and Larry Craig has not been successful so far in getting a judge to withdraw his guilty plea. My lines are open for you. You can comment on any subject of interest to our listeners, or maybe just you. 888-5 Peter B is the toll-free number. You dial 888. Well, usually you got to put a 1 in front of it. 1-888-573-8372. And it boils down to 888-5 Peter B. For some people, that's easier to remember, and for others, it's just more confusing. 888-573-8372. You know the rules. You can talk about any subject, offer any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Before we introduce our esteemed guests, I have to issue an apology to our fine affiliate radio stations. And some of this is kind of inside technical biz. But I blew it at the end of last hour. The very last thing I'm supposed to do is play a little commercial from here at our secret studio location. And because I was running up against the clock with Larissa, I blew it. And I don't have anybody else to blame. I am the board operator on this show, and so I can't shift the blame to somebody else. So to all our affiliates, some of which may have had the dreaded dead air for a minute, you have my humble apology.
Excuse me.
Now we've got two funny guys to join us for a couple of minutes here in the free speech zone, because we want you folks along the Central Coast listening to KRXA 540 to know that there is a great monthly comedy festival, I would call it, starting up in Santa Cruz next Friday night, October the 5th. This is Richard Stockton's wacky idea. He's got a trust fund, and he's trying to unload as much of it as he can.
I wish.
And he has recruited Johnny Steele, one of my buddies from here in the Bay Area, who has already proved that you can put on a comedy show and lose lots of money. Hello, Johnny.
How you doing? Yeah, don't feel bad about that dead air. I have a lot of that dead air during my comedy routine. So.
Yeah, does it work for you?
Yeah, well, no one paid for it, so at least that problem doesn't arise. You know, it's a time for people to catch their breath and just enjoy a moment of zen peace, is how
yeah.
I look at it.
Well, but they on this show, we have some people who get spooked by that, and they think that Karl Rove has found a way to jam into my signal.
Well, Karl Rove has found a way to jam in everybody's signals, but that was something different, I guess.
Yeah, that's Johnny Steele and Richard Stockton. Is the progenitor, is that the fair description? Of
wow, I didn't know I was having that much fun.
The Planet Cruise Comedy Hour series at the Kumbwa Jazz Center, that's in downtown Santa Cruz, and it's kicking off a monthly event starting a week from Friday, October the 5th. What do you have in mind here, Richard?
Actually, when I was listening to you, your Left Coast radio show, that's kind of how we refer to this, a Left Coast version of a Prairie Home Companion. So it's about the people, the stories, the spirit, the mentality, the revolutionary zeal of people in Santa Cruz. And, you know, like Karl Rove, I think one of his missions, of course, was to get a Republican majority going. And that
right.
was one of their stated. And I think, actually, they didn't quite do it in Congress, but I think they might end up doing it in prison. And so we're going to present a version of the Jailhouse Rock called the Karl Rove Rock. And we will be doing things like that throughout this. Peter B., I just want to, first of all, I'd like to send a shout out to one of our sponsors for the show. This show is going to be brought to you by Lawyers Standing in Front of Lumberman's Hardware. And so the next time you need legal help, you just drive by Lumberman's Hardware. You point to the attorneys you want. You tell them to jump in the back of your truck. Lawyers Standing in Front of Lumberman's Hardware, they say, we'll even move the body.
Really?
Yeah.
So, wow.
I know.
This is chasing the ambulance chasers.
Yeah. Yeah, they're Well, they're standing out there with our Latino brothers and sisters, and it's about time.
I see.
Guys in suits were out there.
Uh-huh. And so let's get the facts out here at the Kumbwa Jazz Center starting at 8 p.m. on Friday. And you're actually going to be taping for broadcast on KUSP. And we're allowed to say that here because it's my show.
Wow. That you are a man among men.
Yeah. It's a good idea if you're starting a new radio show that's, you know, as you know, Peter, it's a real uphill battle in the arts and radio to have it, Richard, at a place nobody can pronounce. That's a good start with the Kumbaya Jazz Center or something like that.
Kumba.
How do you even spell that?
You
definitely want to spell that for people Googling it.
Yeah,
you know, it's K-U-U. That's right. Two vowels in a row that are the same. K-U-U-M-B-W-A.
Can we sell one of those vowels?
You probably can. It's Swahili, guys. Come on. Mm-hmm. Where were you in school?
I did, for years, I was going to speak with a series of clicks and buzzes.
Yes.
But I was held back. Kumbwa Center.
Kumbwa Jazz Center.
All right. Now, once we've got the spelling out of the way, in addition to the esteemed Johnny Steele, who's going to be with you for the first show a week from Friday?
We are going to have our Idaho environmentalist correspondent, the esteemed Bent Washburn. He's actually a brilliant comedian, and he is going to be he's a recovering Mormon, if you will, but he will be giving us the environmental report from Monterey and Idaho.
Oh, I see.
We're going to have Simone Cox singing a version of Summertime. She's just out of control blues singer, and Summertime, except we're changing the words like we always do to Planet Cruise Time. I'm going to be ranting and raving about things like gays threatening the institution of marriage. Hey, Peter B., I think the only men in America who really want to get married anyway are gay, okay?
I know, there's always a big argument politically here, and then the left says marriage is for the purpose of gaining legal rights, and the right says it's for the purpose of raising children. And I've been married just 2 years now, and I'd say they're both wrong. The purpose of marriage is to wring and beat all the passion and mystery out of a relationship.
Exactly.
That is apparently, from my gathering point of view, that is exactly what it's
yeah.
They're
now,
both
I,
wrong. I almost never say both sides of the fence are wrong, being a good old lefty, but in this case, everyone's wrong.
Now, Richard, with this celebration of you know, the potential of gay marriage, would you offer a $5 discount to any gay Iranians who come to the show?
I not only will offer them a discount, I can marry them on stage. I am I'm a man with a cloth now. Did you know that? I don't know if Johnny, did you know that? I'm a man with a cloth. I'm ordained. I made the commitment, and I went online.
Yeah.
And got my Universal Life minister thing. And I have so far have married only one couple, but it was a couple gay guys up in San Francisco.
Oh, great. Well, I joined as a reverend in the Universal Life Church, and I did conduct a matrimonial ceremony 2.5 years ago. And it's a straight couple, but they're still married and doing well. Now,
wow.
Richard, did you consider the upgrades, you know, there at the Universal Life Church? For just a couple extra dollars, you could become a bishop, an archbishop. All kinds of titles are available.
Wow. I don't know if I'd want to go, like, really high up in the church because, you know, I'm actually more attracted to women my age.
I see.
Yeah.
It's an extra $20 and a pedophile rap, which you can move up the ladder.
And, Johnny Steele, I want to just thank you because we've never given you credit on this program, but you have made several calls to us as the character Oxy Johnny, who used to be a liberal, and he had a snowboarding accident, got hooked on OxyContin, and it caused him to think like Rush.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Peter, but I think we have another call come in.
Hey, you know, Peter, say Oxy Johnny.
You know, actually, I achieved the beautiful sound of Oxy Johnny being in the basement by actually getting a mixing bowl out of the kitchen and sort of wrapping it around here, speaking in it sort of like this voice here.
You know, you got these two liberals on here. Why don't you have some good, funny comedians on there? Some kind of good, like Dennis Miller. He goes up there, you know, hey, quiet down. I got the dogs in here. Quiet down now.
That's right. Real dogs. Those are actually my dogs. They ran from the other end of the house.
Oh, the dogs.
My Oxy Johnny impression.
They think you're abusing a mixing bowl.
They don't know what's going on. Well, they think I'm making them something to eat. They're excited. But, yeah, anyway, so that's how Oxy Johnny goes occasionally, but the dogs don't always interrupt.
And, Johnny, if you care to tell us, what are you contributing to the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour next Friday?
I'm just going to go up there and storm around and do my usual brand of a sort of loose, unhinged, loose leaf, meandering about commentary on the goings on, my usual commentary for, stuff like, hey, the war's going real smoothly, isn't it? Yeah, what was Bush thinking? I have a better exit strategy when I go to IKEA, ladies and gentlemen. And then just we go from there
mm-hmm.
at that point. Usually about at any given show, well, not this show in Santa Cruz, but at any given show, about 30% of the people get up and leave at that point. and then we have the cream of the crop left, and we go for it.
Yeah. Well,
I love it down there. I travel down there a lot. I would move down there if a crack house wasn't $300,000 a minute. To live down there. I don't know. It's kind of an odd thing. It's the laid-back surfer culture, but it's like, Thurston Howell couldn't buy a beach shack in the hills up there. It's a funny place.
Well, and the cost of meth labs just keeps rising.
It's rising.
It's just shocking.
It's crazy.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want people to mark their calendars for next Friday, especially if you're in Monterey. We want you to get off your butt and drive all the way to Santa Cruz. I know you haven't done it in ages, but head over to the Kumbwa Jazz Center at 8 o'clock Friday night, October the 5th. And in Monterey, you can buy tickets at Angelina's. That, of course, is in Seaside, the Great Bakery, and at PG Liquors in Pacific Grove. In Santa Cruz, tickets are on sale now. Gateway's Books and at Streetlight Records. And unless it sells out, there might be some tickets at the door on Friday night. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Richard Stockton, Johnny Steele, great to talk to you again.
Yeah, talk to you later, Peter B. Keep it straight now.
See you later. Bye.
Okay, bye. All right, we take a break and return. We'll get serious with you. Or you can crack a joke, too. I don't mind. 888-5-PETER-B. The free speech zone is yours for the rest of this hour. 888-573-8372. And stay tuned. We have some dead air scheduled for the end of the hour. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
All right, folks, we're going to take a look at traffic, and I'm going to give you some good news because I got something to say, and it goes something like this. No major problems to report in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas. So what does that mean? That means we're just going to run down some of the various road construction projects because traffic looking good. In fact, in northbound, southbound between Monterey and Carmel, no slow traffic. So just a reminder that if you are in Santa Cruz tomorrow, both directions of Highway 1 between Bay Street and Chestnut, the right lane will be shut down for utility work from 7:30 in the morning to 4 p.m. Also, Salinas, southbound 101 at North Main Street, the on and off ramps closed for paving work. That's 24 hours a day. And just another reminder that Ben Lomond, Highway 9, one-way traffic control in effect from California Drive to Ben Lomond to Big Basin Way in Boulder Creek for tree trimming from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The support brought to you by Panasonic.
Out of the strains of the living Elvis, we launch into the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. All my lines are open right now, so call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. What's on your mind?
Last girl's that one with a defect, still a plain street grass, so correct. Red dogs under legal legs. She looks so good that he gets down in text. She is watching the detectives.
There's plenty to talk about. We kicked off the show today with California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi talking about the crisis in higher education as the fees keep going up. The Board of Regents admits that the top management at the University of California system is inept, yet they're handing out raises to the people who've done such a lousy job running the UC system. And, of course, people who really need and deserve higher education will pay the price or be priced out of the education they need to enhance our workforce. We also talked about the settlement in the strike between the United Auto Workers and General Motors. We talked with Mary Nichols, Governor Schwarzenegger's lead person on the climate change issues. She's chair of the California Air Resources Board. And breaking news from Larissa Alexandrovna of RawStory.com about the true nature of Israel's aerial strike on Syria, which occurred on September 6th and has been the subject of some disinformation from Washington and Tel Aviv. All my lines are open, 888-5-PETER-B. And just don't wait till the end of the hour. That's one thing that frustrates people is they hang back and they call at the end and then they wait and then they don't get on the air. And we hate that kind of heartbreak. So spare yourself that and call me now at 888-5-PETER-B. Now, apropos of the settlement of the GM strike, if you were listening to that segment of the program earlier today, I mentioned how offended I was watching television last night in the coverage of this strike by the United Auto Workers.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It bleeped.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's bullshit.
Darling, you could pass the time, could you entertain me?
So the bull bleep that I saw on television last night was this loudmouth capitalist, Jim Cramer. And he used to have a more annoying show with Lawrence. God, I have forgotten. Larry, a former Reagan official.
And it was a Kudlow, Larry Kudlow. Kudlow and Kramer had a show on MSNBC that was a total flop. And Kramer, who used to have a syndicated radio show about stocks and business, now has a very raucous show that's on the CNBC Business Network. And he came on Chris Matthews' Hardball last night and was just really in my face because he flatly said that there are only two choices. That GM has to break the United Auto Workers or face its own extinction. And it's those kinds of false choices that are clearly anti-union, anti-worker, and pro-corporate that pass for news, information, and commentary on television today. So I just ask you to tell me what kind of bull bleep you've seen on TV that really pushed you over the edge. Because even despite my laryngitis and my generally poor health, I was screaming back at the screen last night when Kramer said that. So maybe there's something else that you've seen I didn't see, and you want to share it with us. Anything is open. It doesn't have to be a news program. But something that you see on you have seen on TV recently that is pure BS and that passes without challenge or commentary, go ahead and turn them in. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Now here's Richard in Fortuna. Thanks for your call, Richard.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I'm calling about the Lieberman bill that passed.
Yeah.
Curious how that happened.
Well, we're trying to find out, and we haven't been able to get the final language of the bill. There were some modifications made to make it a non-binding sense of the Senate. And what I'm not sure is if they eliminated the phrase about using all U.S. assets, including military, to force Iran into submission. As you heard Larry Bensky describe yesterday with Kara Ong, this is a very troubling development because Joe Lieberman is basically doing Dick Cheney's work trying to start a war with Iran.
Right, and Dick Cheney, I think, and him and his cronies have raped the American treasury of pretty much everything. And then all of a sudden I hear we owe the United Nations a couple hundred billion, or a couple billion, so it's like, I think we need to take care of ourselves.
Well, your concern is well warranted, and we will keep our eyes open and perhaps tomorrow give you an update on the exact element there and who voted for it, and we'll get the lowdown, okay?
Right. But I've got one question, Peter, and I still haven't got an answer. As a concerned American citizen, what can I do to stop these guys?
Well, we're going to work on that, too. I don't have a simple answer, and it's time for a break. Thanks for your call.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Yeah.
dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
You can't find nothing on the radio. Y'all turn to that station.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm really glad you turned to that station.
World is collapsing around our ears. I turned up the radio. I can't hear it. And I got to the house, and I called you out.
We're in the free speech zone, taking your calls at 888-5. Peter B., if you're on the line, hang on. And if you want to grab a line, you know the number, 888-573-8372. Joining me now is Mark Ash. He's the executive director of truthout.org. And I want to learn about throttling and smart mobs. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's nice to talk with you again, and kudos to you and the crew at Truth Out. You're doing a lot of great work, and you grabbed my former producer, Matt Renner, who's doing some incredible reporting.
Yes, he is.
Every time I see his byline, I'm just thrilled for the work he's doing and the distribution that you're giving to it. But a lot of the work that you do is being blocked, because I am very pleased that on a daily basis, in fact several times a day, I get updates from truthout.org with headlines linking me to the latest stories that you've posted. And for people who don't know about Truthout or who don't have internet access, we understand that, Truthout is basically split between news and commentary. And on the left side of the page, you have factual news reporting, linked to news reports and newspapers from all over the world. And on the right-hand side, you publish some very smart commentary. But those alerts have been blocked by some of the big free web-based email services like MSN. And explain what throttling means and what smart mobs do to permit this throttling to occur.
Throttling is certainly what we can go to approach that, a Webster's Dictionary standpoint. That means to reduce the speed of delivery. That would mean if, in fact, we have a server that is capable of delivering, we have let's say, 20,000 subscribers on a particular network service. We would normally deliver those things in a timely manner at a rate of probably a few hundred per whatever it is. I think, you know, you're talking about a few hundred per 10-minute block. They would reduce that, so only a few would be able to get through, and our server would then have to retry and retry and retry and retry. It's a technical trick just to kind of slow down the process and do that. That's one. They also indicated that one MSN, Hotmail, indicated they were also blocking. They're the ones that use the terms throttling and blocking.
And so blocking means that they take a look at the originator, in this case truthout.org, and they treat you like junk mail or spam.
That's precisely what they do.
And I have never received an offer for a larger penis from truthout.org. Thank you.
We could get you one of those, too, if you'd like one.
No, thank you. I'm fine. but this has free speech implications.
Well, it does, particularly in that our users are willing to go to bat for us and contact the providers and say, we want our email. Nobody's going to ask for a lower mortgage advertisement or a Viagra advertisement. No one's going to contact their ISP and say, I want my Viagra advertisements. It's not going to happen. Our readers have been incredibly outgoing on our behalf and are contacting their service providers and saying, hey, we want our newsletters.
Well, and I don't imagine that Newsmax or World Net Daily, which are two of the most widely read right-wing news aggregators, get the same treatment. I don't know, but my speculation is that they sail right
Newsmax
through.
Newsmax is a Mellon family, backed by Mellon Family Money.
Uh-huh.
And they can afford to pretty much do what they have to do, whatever that is.
And so this suggests some of the issues that people, the you know, freedom on the web advocates have been calling for, net neutrality. Because if we end up with various grades of service on the web, they could downgrade Truthout, which is a nonprofit, which can't pay as much as you know, some of the big corporate websites, and basically make your speech second class.
They can. Just not to put too fine a point on it, but I'm looking at the front page of the New York Times right now, and there's an article titled Verizon Rejects Text Messages from Abortion Rights Group, saying it had the right to block controversial or unsavory text messages. Verizon Wireless has rejected a request from NARAL, Pro-Choice America, the abortion rights group, to make Verizon's mobile network available for text message program.
Wow.
Front page New York Times right now.
Big brother. This,
there it is.
This
so
is amazing.
It's happening. We live in a digital age. Communication is digital. Therefore, if you can control the delivery of that content along any set of guidelines, particularly in the interest of protecting your users, it becomes the exact same thing. We're protecting you for your own good.
Yeah.
Ergo, for instance, National Security Agency, NSA, on authority of the White House, began to spy on a wide swath of American domestic communications in the interest of protecting us from Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. And, Mark Ash, I use a free web-based service, Yahoo, to manage the public part of my email that comes in from listeners, and my Truthout alerts are sent there, and many other.
I have a Yahoo box myself.
Yeah, many other. And what I've found, it's not happening with Truthout, but some of the acknowledged left sources that I subscribe to get directly routed into my junk box, and I have never flagged them. Or you can set up your parameters to eliminate the penis enlargement stuff and that junk. But I have to go through my junk mail now very carefully because some very important stuff gets lodged there, and I didn't ask for it. And is that a result of...
That's troubling. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it that's troubling is that as you enter that interface in which you view that mail, you have entered Yahoo's network.
Yeah.
That means if there's a link in there and you see an advertisement for a penis enlargement or for a news article on a website, and you click that link, they can control through their network, because you're on there in their interface, whether or not you actually successfully go to that web page on which you have decided you want to go. So now not only do you not get the email you hoped you were going to get, but in this, at that point, you can't even go and visit sites on the web that they deem inappropriate, or in the case of Verizon, says has the right to block controversial, it's feel are controversial or unsavory.
Yeah. Well, and with the NSA monitoring capabilities, they can check our email and our phone traffic and voicemail for those keywords and help throttle us.
Based on the efficiency of their systems,
yeah.
Bottom line is they're probably more adept at getting your email than you are.
You're probably right about that. And isn't it nice that Mike McConnell has told us that they haven't done any illegal warrantless wiretapping since February?
Nice. I'm feeling better already.
Mark, we didn't define smart mobs. Can you explain that briefly?
The smart mobs, I'm going to be honest with you, is not a term that I am personally familiar with, but what I believe it means, and I'm going to articulate another phenomenon, and it'll probably dovetail pretty closely with that. There are, in fact, it is possible, each one of these large services has a complaint process. That is to say, if you're receiving email that you don't want, you hit this is spam. That sends a message to their server and alerts their server that this type of message is spam. If, in fact, a large enough group of individuals begins hitting the complaint buttons
mm-hmm.
on a particular type of message, particularly from a specific organization, then it begins to red flag the server and the spam mechanism at that larger ISP, and that server, in theory, can then automatically begin to block those messages. Individuals who work as a group, a coordinated group, a relatively small group of individuals, can generate a relatively high stream of complaints in very little time and trip that threshold.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, where the process breaks down is a Viagra advertisement sender or a real spammer is going to operate in a completely different mode than a fixed server and a fixed organization.
Yeah, you're honorable, and you don't use phony
well, we're
senders.
We're fixed. You can find some people think we're honorable. Some people don't like what we have to say. Fine, that's great. But they know who we are, and they know where we are.
Yeah.
Unlike a spammer who masks assiduously and vigorously takes steps to mask their identity and location. It's a completely different modus operandi.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Mark, keep fighting. Keep
okay.
publishing at truthout.org. And
okay.
did you meet your fundraising goals this month?
We did. Our readership really came through for us, and we were reaching a lot less people than we normally reach, and our readership came through for us. They said, we're not going to let this happen, and we're really, really, really grateful. Matt's doing a great job, and we'd really like to thank you from the Truth Out family to the Peter B. family. He's doing wonderfully. He's causing a lot of trouble, and we really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Mark Ash.
Thank you, Peter.
Talk to you again soon. That's Mark Ash at truthout.org. Now to your phone calls. Pat in Redwood City, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Peter. I know I'm not supposed to thank you for taking my call, so I'll thank you for putting me on the air.
Well, I'm glad you're so well-trained.
listen, I was calling to let you know that for once, I agree with George Bush, his comment at the United Nations the other day.
All right, let me pick myself up off the floor here. I'm listening.
I'm extremely concerned about global warming in Burma.
Yeah. What, wasn't that amazing that Bush blew past all the things people expected him to talk about and said that the American people are outraged about Burma? Now, would that that be the case? I wish Americans were following the barefoot monks who have been marching over the past week with building crowds challenging that strong-armed government. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if Bush offered some support for those freedom fighters?
It would. And would that be the only thing I was outraged about?
Yeah.
Life would be so much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, my motivation for calling along that same vein of global warming, I am actually outraged to read in the Chronicle yesterday, I think, that Transportation Secretary Mary Peters
right.
is lobbying the governors
mm-hmm.
and congressmen of other states.
And other parties.
And other parties.
Yeah, colluding with the Democrats.
The
Democrat Party.
To breathe on the EPA, who I guess doesn't care to protect any environment, to turn down our decision to regulate greenhouse gases in California.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you heard, but we talked with Mary Nichols.
Yes, I did.
Earlier today, yeah. And she did address that, and it is very interesting to see this Governor Schwarzenegger. I don't support everything he does, but I'm willing to praise him when he does the right thing. And he recently challenged the members of his own party to moderate, not let the right wing keep control. And he went to the United Nations and said intelligent things about global warming. And George W. Bush couldn't even, you know, he could barely RSVP to the dinner with other heads of state. Pat, I appreciate your call today. I wanted to tip you off to one thing because you're in Redwood City.
Yes.
Next week, for 1 week only, you can hear the Peter B. Collins Show on an AM radio. We're going to be doing a fill-in for John Scott's news hours, progressive news hours, on 960, Green 960, KKGN.
I don't know if I have an AM radio.
Well, I want you to find one. And I'm also putting you in charge of marketing in the entire San Mateo County area.
Oh, count on it.
I want you to pass the word, get people to listen and call in, and also contact the station and tell them to pick up the show every day, okay?
Give me that station again.
960 AM, KKGN.
Great. Super.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
A world-class conspirator. I like that. We're going to take a quick break and return to your phone calls here. 47 minutes into the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Will there be dead air at the end of the hour? We're going to find out together.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cool. Where corporations are outraged, the city council's outrageous.
It's the first of the two-hour Planet Cruise Comedy Hour with me, Richard Stockton.
I was a feral child raised by Republicans.
Along with comedian Johnny Steele talking Bush.
What was he thinking? I have a better exit plan when I go to IKEA, for heaven's sake.
Friday, October 5th, at the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz, it's a spirit-mending, regime-changing night of comedy with the music of the great Morgani, Ukulele Dick, sketch comedy with the Outpatient Players, Johnny Steele, and me, Richard Stockton.
We want to protect marriage, yes! We make it illegal for everybody. We will want marriage if we outlaw it. Oh, I know there'll be bumper stickers to say when in-laws are outlawed, only outlaws will have in-laws.
Join the recording of this Left Coast version of A Prairie Home Companion.
I came here to be enlightened. You know, they always said I was clueless. But I think I'm going to find one this year because I've already attained tunas. Let me welcome you.
So get off your big yoga balls and come to the Columba Jazz Center in Santa Cruz Friday, October 5th for the two-hour Planet Cruise Comedy Hour. If you want to laugh your glutes off.
Tickets available at PG Liquors, Angelina's, and in Santa Cruz at Gateways Books and Streetlight Records.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your solar future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Well, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've reached that time of night where we say it's time for the last traffic report. And we have a few problems since we last spoke, which is good if you're a traffic reporter. Bad for our motorists, though. Northbound 101 after Main Street, a crash being reported. Two vehicles in the center divide, CHP on scene. Monterey, southbound 101 at Fremont Street, a problem. It is a crash, right lane blocked, and it looks like a vehicle actually hit the center divide there. So we're reporting that. And we also want to mention that we are going to take a look at Salinas. Blanco Road at South Davis, a fender bender on the right shoulder, two vehicles being reported. Felton, Smith Grade at Empire Grade, it's a vehicle that overturned on its side in the lane. CHP is en route. This report brought to you by Cal Football. The Golden Bears return for their homecoming against Oregon State on Saturday, October 13th. Tickets are available at calbears.com.
Miracle at
my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building it with weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not going to waste much.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. I want to thank George Carlin for not using the phrase son of a bitch in his challenge to the FCC rules. It's one of the few expressions that doesn't trigger a fine of up to $350,000. Back to your phone calls. Thanks for holding on. We go to Harvey in Eureka. Welcome, Harvey.
Yes. Well, I guess I'm incensed about this subject. You wanted people that were incensed. And what I was incensed about is the hearing about this settlement that they just passed over the two-tier
wage system?
Yeah, the two-tier wage system. And I think that is deadly. That is something that you know, should never be agreed to, because it divides the workers into the higher paid and the lower paid.
And well, and it makes targets out of the veterans who get higher pay, and also it makes them more susceptible to buyouts, so that the company can take the higher paid workers off the payroll and stack it with the lower paid new workers.
Yes,
it's a very, very dangerous union settlement. I agree with that.
What I was incensed about, of course, just hearing it, that was not made an issue, and I think I would never vote for that. I'd stay on strike before I'd agree to that.
Well, you must have been in a labor union, Harvey, because you're very astute and you're right about the risk involved there. I remember Northwest Airlines merged with a bunch of Allegheny Republic, a bunch of airlines. And at a certain point, the baggage handlers at the Detroit airport, the veterans were making twice as much as the newbies. And the newbies got so pissed off one day that they went through the airport and they ripped off the tags of every bag they could find.
Ooh.
And that was a kind of industrial activity that I don't countenance, but you can certainly understand the anger that drove it. Harvey, thanks a lot for your call. Mark and Eureka, you're next. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the, we can say son of a bitch on the radio?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I want to talk about that son of a bitch, Buzz Patterson, the right-wing wacko pseudo-military commentator.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was on with Chris Matthews a couple weeks ago, and he was spreading the lie that Clinton cut back the military from, you know, the Reagan-era height of 18 divisions to 10 divisions, which, in fact, in 1990... Rumsfeld Defense Department.
Correct.
Started cutting back the Army from 18 divisions to 16. Then there were, by the time Bill Clinton was nominated, there was only 14 divisions. And then by the time he actually took office, the fiscal year 1993, which starts in October 1st, 92.
Mm-hmm.
It was already cut back to 12 divisions by then, or at least the plan was. So they keep on spreading this big lie that, you know, everything was great.
Well, your history is very good. I don't think Rumsfeld was actually, he was in private industry making megabucks at that point.
Oh, no, he was
But Cheney was the Secretary of Defense.
And his assistant was Rumsfeld.
I don't remember that.
Yep.
At any rate, the other issue that's important is, as they were cutting back on personnel, we never got the so-called peace dividend in terms of a reduction in the overall defense budget. They just shoveled it into the military contractors and the aerospace and other companies selling us very expensive weapons.
Yeah, what they did is they took it all out of personnel and all out of procurement and put it into research and development. And we basically spent, 12 years spending billions and billions on equipment that we never finished developing and never started building. So it's kind of hard to have, you know, a cutting-edge military when you're not building anything.
Yep. Appreciate it, Mark. I'm going to jump to another call, try to squeeze everybody in before the dead air coming up at the end of the hour. This is Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, BS items on TV. I got about three. First one, that bald-headed ape freak Jim Cramer on Hardball. Talking about Alan Greenspan, the Iraq War, was all about oil Jim Cramer said he didn't really want to criticize Alan Greenspan. Alan Greenspan supposedly did such a great job with the economy and all that. He just found it so hard to criticize Alan Greenspan, and he didn't want to. And I always thought Jim Cramer was a lot more irritating than Lawrence Kudlow because of his big, stupid mouth.
Yeah, I agree.
Number two, Chris Matthews, repeating the lie that the Saddam Hussein tried to kill Bush Sr. in 1993. I remember hearing somewhere that's a complete lie.
You know what? I actually, I'm not so sure about that because there was a team that went to Kuwait. And they did, they were apprehended, and they claimed they were attempting to assassinate Bush. What I think is undertold about that episode, and you may be right, it may have been completely concocted, but Bush was there to cash in on his liberation of Kuwait.
Mm.
And he brought his oil buddies, and I think one of the Bush kids, it wasn't W, I think it was Marvin, who was along for the ride and there to pick up juicy contracts from our lovely freedom-loving friends in Kuwait.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would be worth looking into the so-called assassination attempt by Saddam Hussein was for real or not.
They tried to kill my daddy.
Yeah. I heard that it wasn't. And one final thing, everything I see, every time I see Hillary Clinton on TV, I hate that phony woman, and I hate her phony goddamn laugh.
Okay, you're not supposed to say GD, okay?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I don't want to start a whole rush of crude language here, okay? Let's try to restrain ourselves. Jake and Eureka, you get the final word tonight. Welcome.
Hey, Peter B. I'm just calling in quick about that federal court ruling today about the Portland lawyer. I believe his name was Brandon Mayfield. He was accused of having some part in the Spanish bombings. And apparently a federal judge ruled two parts of the Patriot Act to be unconstitutional.
Mm.
And the basis, of course, is the Fourth Amendment and the probable cause standard.
Right.
And the Patriot Act basically eliminates the main provision to the Fourth Amendment. And this judge basically said today that if Congress wants to eliminate the Fourth Amendment, they have to go through the constitutional amendment process.
Nice. Now, where is this court ruling? It's not the Ninth Circuit, is it?
State of Oregon.
State of Oregon.
Yeah, this had to do with that Portland lawyer. Who
sure,
was,
I remember. He was completely innocent, and they put him through the ringer.
Right. Based on bogus fingerprint evidence, they tried to say he was, you know, an Al-Qaeda terrorist and tried to tie him into the bombings in Madrid.
Yeah.
And
Jake, I'm out of time,
BS.
But thanks for bringing that to our attention. We'll dig into it and do a segment on it. Well, that's all the time we have for on the Peter B. Collins Show today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same great stations. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com.
To you. Keep smiling.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
No blood for oil! No blood for oil!
Anti-war demonstrators chanted no blood for oil as the Senate Appropriations Committee got into the costs of the war.
Total funding for the war in Iraq will exceed $600 billion. $600 billion!
Chairman Robert Byrd vowed not to rubber stamp the Pentagon's latest request. To fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for another year, it wants $160 billion. Spokesman Jeff Morrell says a lot of that money will go toward replacing weapons and equipment that have been worn out or destroyed.
You can rest assured that this number reflects the fact that the services believe they are going to need additional dollars to continue at the pace we're now going at coming into the new year.
At the UN today, Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki told the General Assembly his government needs relief from outside interference.
We have cautioned all the countries in the region that the continued flow of weapons, money, suicide bombers will only result in disastrous consequences for peoples of the region and the world.
Maliki conceded that the progress Iraq has made so far, quote, does not meet our entire ambitions. Jurors at the Phil Spector trial in Los Angeles told the judge today that they were hopelessly deadlocked after 12 days of deliberation. He declared a mistrial, and prosecutors immediately announced they'll try again. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
Both sides typically do better the second time around. Defense attorneys know precisely what to expect from government witnesses, and the DA knows precisely how the defense strategy is going to unfold. So I don't know who benefits more here. Maybe prosecutors, because they'll have a chance to make their case shorter and more succinct.
This trial dragged on for months. Spector's charged with murdering actress Lana Clarkson, who was shot dead in his home. The defense claims she took her own life. Senator Larry Craig's lawyer, Billy Martin, went before a judge in Edina, Minnesota today seeking to withdraw his client's guilty plea in that airport sex sting.
Hopefully we can undo this.
The judge won't decide till next week, so as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports, the Idaho Republican has postponed his plan to resign.
In a three-sentence written statement, Senator Craig says that for now he intends to stay in the Senate and await a ruling from the Minnesota judge on his effort to withdraw his guilty plea. He earlier said if his name couldn't be cleared by the end of the month, which is 4 days away, he would resign, which is what Republican leaders here have made up.